what we learn about the recent would-be Trump assassin, he seems to have clearly been an asset of the deep state. He's been criminally charged over 100 times, including once for possessing an unregistered fully automatic firearm. He was recruiting mercenaries to fight in Ukraine and was on the mainstream news to discuss this.
This conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. We're battling a situation here where, you know, the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish. And for some reason, Russia does not grasp this concept that we're all one unit. Seems asinine that we have a leader in a country that does not understand the concept of being unselfish and being generous.
He appeared in a video promoting the Azov Brigade. And despite all this, he was somehow able to get a rifle across state lines and within shooting distance to Donald Trump just 2 months after a failed assassination attempt. As Edward Snowden pointed out, there is an Oswald vibe here. And he's right. Almost every assassination conspiracy in history has the same telltale signs. Take deep state heavyweight George H.W. Bush, for instance. Although he said he didn't remember where he was that day, George Bush was in Dallas when JFK was shot. He confidentially reported into the FBI with a cryptic message an hour after the assassination from the Sheraton Dallas Hotel. During this time, George Bush was covertly working for the CIA. CIA asset George de Morenschild, who became friends with Lee Harvey Oswald a year before the JFK assassination, was family friends with George Bush. Bush wrote in an internal CIA memo that he first met him in the early 40s and was associated with him for over a decade. Fast forward to when George Bush was vice president alongside President Ronald Reagan, and Reagan was shot by John Hinckley. The Hinckley family was friends with the Bush family since the 1950s, when they were neighbors in Midland, Texas. The Hinckleys were donors to George Bush's political campaigns and supported George W. when he first launched his political career. The families were still close at the time of the shooting, but this was ignored by the media. George Bush's son, Neil Bush, said that he was scheduled to have dinner with John Hinckley's brother, Scott, the day after the shooting, and told the press that Scott Hinckley had been at his house for his surprise birthday party a couple months earlier. John Hinckley Jr. was living with his parents during the time he shot Reagan. His father, John Hinckley Sr., was employed at World Vision, a nonprofit funded by CIA proxy USAID. The lone gunman who shot and killed John Lennon, Mark David Chapman, was also an employee of World Vision. In the fall of 1980, Hinckley was arrested at Nashville Airport carrying three guns and was believed to have been stalking President Jimmy Carter, the political opponent of George Bush at the time. The police let him go. Right after that, Hinckley was reportedly stalking the actress Jodie Foster and claimed to have been hearing voices in his head. Notes written by Hinckley were later found where he wrote of a conspiracy to assassinate the president. This was dismissed by his parents as being an imaginary conspiracy and ignored by the court. Dozens of pages concerning Hinckley's personality, his associates, and his financials were deleted by the FBI, and it was decided that Hinckley was insane and acting alone. He was sent to St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital, a hospital with a long history of involvement with the CIA's MK Ultra program. This is just a quick glimpse at one of the many old soldiers of the deep state. This sort of thing has been going on forever. The only difference now is that the younger generation, most likely victims of trauma-based mind control themselves, don't seem to have the skills or the motivation that their parents and grandparents once had. And because of the internet, more people are seeing it and pushing for the truth. And maybe someday we will stand up against it rather than watch it slowly eat us all. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
History lesson from Greg Reese there. We'll be right back on the other side with your Daily Dispatch. You're watching American Journal on the 18th of September, 2024. We'll be right back.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD. Test it out. See how great it is. And then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
It's Wednesday, September 18th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. What a show we have for you today. Just tons of videos to show you. Tons of goings-on the world over. We're going to talk about the pager attack in Israel. We're going to talk about the massive explosion just west of Moscow in Russia that some people, myself included, were slash are speculating to be some sort of tactical nuke explosion. We'll get into Haitians and immigration and just insanity across the board. Before we do that, we'll start the show with a little movie review. So I took some time to go watch Am I Racist? Matt Walsh's film, documentary film from Daily Wire. I gotta say, pretty good, pretty dang good. I give it 4 out of 5 stars. The best part about it was the conversation that we had afterwards. I went with my brother-in-law and some of his friends, and we ended up just like sitting in the car for like an hour, just talking, because it just starts this conversation that just goes a little bit off the rails, I have to admit, but it's a great conversation starter, and it's made for normies. It's made for normies. So, you know, Daily Wire, they're okay. They're all right. They're not the greatest in all the ways, but that's okay. Credit where it's due. It was an extremely well-done movie. The editing was fantastic. The way it was put together was amazing. Some of the scenes were fantastic.
Where did you see it?
I saw it. Well, I'm not going to tell people where I saw it. At the movie theater. I saw it at a theater where they show movies.
Oh, so they play it in theaters.
It's an AMC. Yes, it is in theaters. It is in theaters. It was very good. My only criticism would be there were some segments that felt like just a string of sort of viral videos. Like they're just, you know, man on the street videos that you see on Twitter quite a bit. But the whole thing is set up like Borat. Like Matt Walsh is sort of playing a character that's supposedly genuinely trying to learn to be anti-racist. And that's the pitch I would use if you want to take your normie friends to it. If they don't know anything about it, that's what I, because, you know, we know all this stuff. We've seen all of the madness. We've read all the books. We know what Ibram X. Kendi and Robin DiAngelo are all about. So none of that was a surprise for me. But as I was watching it, I was trying to imagine, like, okay, what if I was somebody that actually believed this stuff? How would I feel about the movie? Or what if I was somebody who is totally ignorant to all of this going on? How would I feel about it? And the conclusion I came to was, like, it was a movie for normies. It was a movie to ease normies into an understanding of just how corrupt that whole DEI scam truly is. And I think it did a very good job at doing that. So I encourage people to go see it. It was very well done. And like I said, the only criticism would be that, you know, I see man on the street videos making liberals look like idiots all the time. But if I didn't, you know, if that wasn't my Twitter feed, and that sort of style of interaction was new to me, I don't know what I would think. I don't know what I would think. That was the first I was seeing of it. But it was very good. And it was just funny because, of course, just part of my job, constantly checking Twitter, constantly just, you know, popping it open. Am I missing anything? Anything really big happening right now that needs my attention or research? Any videos dropping that are going to be deleted later that I need to grab? And so, you know, a full 2 hours in a movie theater with the phone off, it's like, well, but 2 hours. I mean, what could go wrong in 2 hours? And I get out, and the first thing I see on X is, did NATO just nuke Russia in these images of mushroom clouds? And I'm just like, really? I can't take 2 hours to... It's not even like I was separate. I'm watching Am I Racist by Matt Walsh. It's not even like I'm, you know, just relaxing watching cartoons or so. I can't take 2 hours to do further research without the world literally exploding into Armageddon. So we'll get into that and so much more on today's episode. We'll be joined in studio by Ivan Raiklin in the third hour. He's got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about, especially when it comes to free speech and the fight against censorship. Stay tuned for that. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 18th of September, 2024. Ukrainian drone attack triggers huge blast at Russian ammo depot. A Ukrainian drone attack on Russian missile facility early Wednesday threw up towering fireballs visible from space and thundering detonations that triggered earthquake monitors. Even by the standards of this incendiary conflict, video showing the blast north of Moscow made for remarkable footage. I think we also have clip 7 and 8 are this explosion, and it is massive and it looks nuclear in scale. Now, apparently it hit a weapons depot, and that's the explosion that you're seeing. The weapon depot itself has something like 42 bunkers and 23 non-reinforced buildings, which means the casualty numbers here could be massive. A huge blow against Russia, a huge psychological blow against Russia in that the bombing site was, and just look at that towering inferno. I mean, it is a pillar of fire, wreathed in smoke. It's an escalation, let's just say that. And the area is only about a four-hour drive from Moscow, 230 miles from the Russian capital. And it's sort of northwest of Moscow, meaning that this level of bombardment could rain down on the Russian capital. We'll talk a little bit more about Russia's red lines and the way NATO, the U.S., and the U.K. and Ukraine are just trampling all over them and poking the bear, because what could go wrong? Meanwhile, Israel's war on Gaza and Lebanon and Syria and Iran has taken a bizarre new turn. Now, this broke during the show yesterday, and we covered it momentarily. Since then, I've done a lot of research into this, and I think I have some revelations about it that you're not going to be able to find anywhere else. And we'll dig into this very thoroughly on today's show. What happened was thousands of pagers exploded in Lebanon that were supposedly held by Hezbollah. 200 people are in critical condition. Something like 4,000 people were injured by this. It was largely indiscriminate explosions in places like grocery stores. The Iranian ambassador was apparently injured. The speculation is running wild about this. The claims are that this was a shipment. Basically, the claim is that Hezbollah had smartphones. They wanted to not be tracked by the Israeli government, so they downgraded to a lower technology pagers. When the Israelis discovered this, they apparently intercepted a shipment of these pagers to Hezbollah, confiscated them, placed explosives in them, and then sent them forward. And this is an operation that apparently has been happening over the last 5 months, and then they were all set off today. I have some suspicion about that official story, and again, we'll be digging into that, and I'll be giving you the background to this that you are not going to find reported anywhere else, because it contains information that is legally censored in Israel and therefore the rest of the United States. So we'll get right back to that. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Springfield resident alleges cat stolen and, quote, chopped up by Haitian neighbor in disturbing incident reported to the police. Local resident in Springfield, Ohio, alleged that her cat had been stolen and mutilated by her Haitian neighbors, according to a police report obtained by the Oversight Project. This report, filed on August 28th, claims that the woman suspected her neighbors of taking and dismembering her pet, with the remains allegedly being left in their backyard. This, of course, just is represents the gigantic lie that they've been pushing, that the claims about Haitians eating cats in Springfield, Ohio is a total lie, a canard, a baseless accusation, you know, except for all of the official reports and phone calls. But I remind people, you have to listen to their words. They didn't say this has never happened. They didn't say there are no reports of this. They said there are no credible reports of people eating pets, of Haitian immigrants eating pets. So in this, you know, we'll read the actual report, but obviously there have been reports of Haitians taking people's cats and dismembering them, maybe not eating them, and maybe, you know, whoever's subjective view it is decides that this report isn't credible. Therefore, they weren't lying. They were just not telling you the whole truth, because that's the way they lie, because that's how liars operate. So this has been totally bunked, right? They debunked it, but it was in fact real, completely, totally, absolutely, unquestionably real. And we'll get back to that, because there's more videos coming out of Springfield and other places where Haitians are being dumped by the tens of thousands into highly red districts and towns in an effort for what's the word I'm looking for? Genocide. It's a genocidal activity of racial cleansing in the heart of America. So we'll get back to that in a little bit. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis says it makes no sense to have federal agencies that are prosecuting Trump also investigating assassination attempts against him. Thank God for Ron DeSantis. Governor Ron DeSantis said Tuesday that it makes no sense for these federal agencies to investigate the second Trump assassination when those same federal agencies are prosecuting the GOP nominee. This comes as DeSantis has also said that Florida will conduct its own investigation into the assassination attempt, and he's coming out some good information about that as well, being much more transparent than the feds ever will be. And we'll get back to that story. I also think it's funny. I see leftists on X saying MAGA supporters hated Ron DeSantis, but now that they're pretending to love him or something. We always loved Ron DeSantis. We always loved Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis was always a great ally and partner for Donald Trump. Then he started running against and attacking Donald Trump, so we stopped liking him while he did that. And then he lost, obviously, inevitably. Duh. Dummy. And then he endorsed Trump, and now he's back in the fold, and we love him again. That's normal. That's actually how this is supposed to work. We don't hold grudges against our political opponents, but if they're running against our political opponent, we talk trash about them. It's fine. It's normal. We aren't driven by hate like you people are, and that's confusing the liberals. And I don't know if I can explain to them what love is. Meanwhile, California passes election deep fake law, forcing social media companies to take action. California will now require social media companies to moderate the spread of election related impersonations powered by artificial intelligence known as deep fakes. After Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, signed three new laws on the subject Tuesday. The three laws, including a first of its kind law that imposes new requirements on social media platforms, largely deal with banning or labeling the deep fakes. And I liked Alex Jones's interpretation on this on Twitter. They're trying to ban the memes, folks. The memes are at risk of being banned. They're trying to make memes illegal. This will not stand. The First Amendment demands we oppose this with everything we've got. On the other hand, I don't know how you enforce this. I don't know. I'll have to look into it, because at the same time, I don't know if labeling AI is the worst thing. I think it should be voluntary. But who knows? Who knows? All I know is that the advance of AI is making absolutely everything uncertain. And I remember months ago when AI first really, you know, took the world by storm, talked to my mom. She goes, now just everything I see, I have to think, is this AI? Like, I can't believe anything. I remember just being like, did you believe things before? Did you just start not believing things? Because that should be the status quo across the board. AI or not, folks, do not believe your eyes at first until you can really thoroughly think about it and determine whether or not reality is what they say it is. So the one thing I know is that Democrats never just do what they actually say they're doing, and they will take on a seemingly benevolent or necessary cause in order to warp, distort, pervert, and take advantage of it for their own ends. So screw Gavin Newsom, screw the Californians, let the memes flow freely. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself the products that, once you start using them, you can't live without them. Join us in the heart of the resistance. And that really is what you are if you go to InfoWarsStore.com. Our message may get out to tens of millions of people. We may reach untold numbers of human beings with our information. They may share our links and share our videos. But throughout this giant crowd of InfoWarriors or InfoWarrior adjacent patriots, there is a hardcore center, a heart of this operation that is the InfoWars audience that goes to InfoWarsStore.com. And it's the people that go to InfoWarsStore.com that are that keep the engine running for the other tens of millions of people out there that are happy to participate but don't feel like supporting us. Be a part of the hardcore center. Be a part of the heart, the beating heart, the driving engine of this free speech platform by going to InfoWarsStore.com today. Get yourself a fantastic product and keep us on the air for the foreseeable future, as I think we may be more and more necessary as time goes on. After all, just from the Daily Dispatch today, we've got nuclear-level explosions in and around Moscow, courtesy of Ukraine, as they teeter on the edge of allowing officially the Storm Shadow long-range missiles that will mean World War III. We've got this heinous, pointless, strategically worthless attack against civilians and maybe some enemy combatants in Lebanon. We'll dig into that and break that down for you. But I want to start with a video about the assassinations and talking about some of the assassination, some of the information about the assassination attempts that we've seen. This is from a TikToker. She breaks it down brilliantly. Clip number three. This girl's great. Like, I'm just always amazed at the ability of people to do this, to do my job, right? To explain things like this and break things down. And it's, we need more of this. I love seeing this. And I love seeing this ethos, this Alex Jones question everything. The world is being run by nefarious people in the shadows. This concept is breaking through in a way that is unprecedented in my lifetime. And it's wonderful to see. And I think this is just an example of that. Let's go now to clip number three, similarities between the assassination attempts of Donald Trump.
All roads to the Trump assassinations lead to one thing alone. So we see some similarities between the shooters. Both were donors to ACT Blue, a PAC for the Democrat Party. Both managed to get within 500 yards of Trump. Both attempts were followed by the mainstream media, kind of oddly downplaying the severity of the situations. And most importantly, Crooks was in a 2023 BlackRock commercial, and Routh was in a 2022 commercial for the Ukrainian militia that had been trained by the American CIA for the past decade and is funded by BlackRock. Here is the explanation. So for context, Ryan Routh was a construction worker in North Carolina that moved to Hawaii, has a house and a business there that wasn't making any money, so he was listed as unemployed. But he really cared about standing for Ukraine, so this former construction worker with no income, operating entirely alone, ran a website offering Americans $1,200 a month to fight for Ukraine, was illegally moving Afghani soldiers fleeing from the Taliban in Pakistan and Iran to fight for Ukraine, dropped everything for months at a time to fly himself to Ukraine, and flew to D.C. to lobby for Congress to recruit soldiers for Ukraine. He also has about 100 criminal filings, including a 2002 arrest for possessing a weapon of mass destruction, as most construction workers do, and he obviously still has weapons, and not only is he still allowed to vote, but to vote in North Carolina as recently as this year, even though he's a resident of Hawaii. And like most construction workers, he had a hunch where Trump would be on a Sunday afternoon and was waiting at the golf course for 12 hours ahead of time, even though Trump's schedule was off the record. The most probable explanation is tied to BlackRock. So in 2022, Ralph was in a commercial that advertised the Yazov Battalion, which is a Ukrainian neo-Nazi militia trained by the CIA and funded by BlackRock. So what links Ukraine, the CIA, and BlackRock? Well, ever since the Cuban Missile Crisis, the dissolution of the Russian Empire has been an American priority because they have nukes aimed at us. Now, BlackRock essentially owns the U.S. government, considering the top economic advisors for the Biden-Harris admin come from BlackRock. BlackRock wants the oil and rare metals in eastern Ukraine because it owns companies that sell oil and rare metals. So last year, BlackRock paid Ukraine $500 billion in exchange for all of Ukraine's main assets and put Ukraine in permanent debt to BlackRock. And since BlackRock owns our government, our CIA is BlackRock's personal military. And troubled souls like Routh and Crooks are groomed to be useful pawns that exist to look like random eccentric people and take the sole blame for carefully crafted crimes like attempting to extinguish the primary threat to the mega monopoly that not only runs our government, but the world. Hence, after Crooks died and was supposed to be examined by the House Task Force, the FBI took the body and cremated it in secret. Not only law enforcement knew until 13 days after. Nobody sat his parents down and asked them why their kid had bombs or how he got the money for this. And they never will. The crime scene was scrubbed. So if it wasn't obvious before, it should be obvious now that your government, the CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service are a unit. Not because they're all buddies and love each other, but because they're owned by the same people. So anyone that threatens them, regardless of party affiliation, is a target. So no wonder for years people have said Trump would be assassinated, and no wonder they refused to give Secret Service protection to a Kennedy. This is the mega monopoly versus the people, and always has been. But thanks to private media, we know that now. So the attempt to shut down any resistance is going to be stronger than ever. This is the totalitarians versus we the people. So fight.
The totalitarians versus we the people. That is from a TikToker called Joy Back La Cruz Backup. Joy Back La Cruz Backup. Las Cruz Backup. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but absolutely incredible stuff. And again, it's not just that the information is good. It's not just that, you know, by researching this stuff and investigating it, you slowly but surely start to weave together the web that is dragging our world down. It's just the fact that we're breaking through. We're having victory. I mean, that is what victory looks like. And we're seeing more and more of it on a daily basis. And again, just going back to watching the movie yesterday with dudes that are literal rocket scientists and filmmakers and like not right-wing extremist libertarian talk show hosts. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets how ridiculous this entire situation is from the DEI anti-racist scam that is pervasive throughout our institutions, to the world wars being started on behalf of companies the likes of BlackRock, to houses being bought up by corporations and, you know, denied sale to young couples. Like, everybody gets it now if they're awake, if they're paying attention. This is like the true test of discernment happening right now. And if you're able to see through the lies and the fog, what is real? You are on the right side of history. We'll be right back on the other side with more assassination news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot, who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 Six shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to continue to talk about domestic issues this hour. I'm actually going to go to another, a little bit longer video of Tucker Carlson this time, talking about the assassination attempts and some very interesting observations he made yesterday, I believe, at his as his event where he's giving speech. We're also going to talk about the new and continual stream of evidence about not just Haitians eating cats, but the invasion being a deliberate scheme of expropriation from the American people by our government and bad actors in corporations and local governments across the country. In the next hour, we're going to talk about that massive explosion in Russia and what the truth is behind that and where that escalation goes. Looks an awful lot like mushroom cloud, but maybe that's just a preview for what comes next. And we're also going to break down for you information that, again, you're not getting anywhere else about the real impetus and reason and method behind the pager attack in Lebanon. All of that in the second hour. In the third hour, we'll be joined by Ivan Raiklin. We'll talk about free speech, the threat that it's under, and the good people actually fighting back against it. Well, let's go to this Tucker Carlson clip, number 25. Tucker Carlson obliterated Lindsey Graham and had a very interesting, unique, and profound take on the identity of the Trump assassin. Let's watch.
And I'm watching this. They're literally telling me that this guy whom they've arrested is a Trump supporter. Huh? So you flip channels, and then you learn that I flipped over to a channel I used to work on. And there's Lindsey Graham. And I know. He's a Republican senator from one of the most conservative states. How does that happen, by the way? If democracy is real, how is Lindsey Graham a senator? But whatever. So I'm watching Lindsey Graham, and Lindsey Graham's looking right into the camera. He's like, you know who did this? Iran. Iran? So I look into this. Yeah, well, that's for sure. Well, it turns out someone just yelled warmonger. Well, the guy who shot Trump was also a warmonger. And in fact, the closer you look at it, the more you realize his politics are exactly the same as Lindsey Graham's. He's a neocon. He literally volunteered in Ukraine. And Lindsey Graham's like, no, Iran did. It's like, no, you have no opinions that are different from this guy's. And you're lying to me and the audience I used to speak to five nights a week. You were lying to them. I'm shouting this in my hotel room. Nobody heard me. My wife was brushing her teeth. She's like, what is that? They're lying! It drove me completely insane. And there's no mention of the fact that this guy, who, by the way, has been interviewed by every media outlet in Washington, this guy was like a very famous guy. You may not even know this. There's only really one place to learn any facts at all, and that's Elon Musk's social media app. It's crazy. I don't have a TV at home, so I'm spared most of this. I have no idea what's going on. By the way, I strongly recommend ignorance. If you're looking to stay happy in a moment like this, just know less. Unfortunately, my job requires me to know more, but if you think about it, did God punish Adam and Eve for ignorance? I don't think he did. He punished them for knowledge, so maybe I shouldn't watch cable news. This was my... I don't want to know what they're saying, but this week I've had to pay close attention. And every single thing is a lie, either directly, or it's a lie much more prevalent and much more sinister. It's a lie by omission. They're just not telling you the facts. And without belaboring the point, I'm using this as just one example among a countless number of examples where reality is completely distorted and the average person has not only no idea but no way of knowing what the truth is. So the guy who is now in custody for attempted murder against the Republican nominee, the former U.S. President, Donald Trump, that guy has been interviewed countless times by every big media outlet in the United States. He's got, you know, a criminal record the length of your arm, 20 charges, including possession of weapons of mass destruction. The New York Times didn't bother learn any of that before they held him up as a freedom fighter in Ukraine, where he was living. And then the piece describes the contact he's had with members of Congress and their staffs and other U.S. government agencies. And you're like, wait a second, that's the same guy who brought a rifle with a scope to a golf course in South Florida to murder Donald Trump, and he's had all these contacts with U.S. government agencies? Like, I don't know what that's about. But I think it's time to find out. No? Yes. But no one's going to find out. It's just going to be memory hold. In a week, it will never have happened. And you'll be the crazy person for remembering. People are like, what? Didn't some Trump supporter bring a rifle because you're against gun control or something? It's like, no. That's not what happened. A guy who was a darling of the New York Times, who has the exact same worldview as Lindsey Graham, decided to try and murder Donald Trump, and it'll be completely gone. It will have disappeared.
Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, it was the assassin was a neocon. I think that's a great way of putting it. Again, I think I mentioned this yesterday, right? The idea that I was also struggling with this the same way that Tucker Carlson is, just the insanity that we see coming from the mainstream media and how it's not just that they lie. It's that everything is a lie. Everything. It's crazy. And it's not just a lie. It's the inversion of truth. It's the least racist people being portrayed as the most racist, the least dangerous people being portrayed as the most dangerous. I mean, it's not just that they lie, it's that everything's a lie, and it's not just that they lie, it's that the lies are an inversion of truth, not just simply untrue. But at the same time, I have people on X saying, oh, they're just trying to gaslight you, you know, it's all an operation to make you think you're crazy. And to a certain extent, that's true. To a certain extent, you know, what the mainstream media believes, while it does trickle through and filter through and be, get repeated by normies across the country, they're overrepresented. Their views, this madness that they pump out is vastly overrepresented in the conversation. I don't think everybody is falling for it that much. So there is this aspect of the illusion of total support. The illusion that they push where everybody's on board with this. And you go ask your neighbors and it's like, no, nobody's on board with this. But they create the illusion of that. I hope that doesn't work on you. I really don't. And just to take the cliche example of the sky being blue, it wouldn't matter to me how many people out there say the sky is green. It wouldn't matter to me if every day, every media outlet was running programs about the importance of the sky being green and how it is green and how it's always been green. It wouldn't matter how many people are out. I'm never going to think I'm the crazy. I'm never going to sit there and go, maybe it is green. Maybe I'm the crazy. Everyone else seems to think it's green. Maybe I'm out of. No, the sky's blue. And I don't care if there's a million people that say it's just there's truth and there's falsehood. And you just have to recognize it. You just have to point it out and you just have to say it. And when people lie and impinge upon your reality, you just have to reject them firmly. Because we're getting into this after Am I Racist, talking about, you know, well, what would you do if your kid came home and said he thinks he's a girl? And it's just like, you just say you're not. That's it. That's the answer. That's the solution. Dad, I think I'm a girl. Oh, well, you're not, son. The end, period. Conversation over. Assert truth. Tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. The whole truth. These things are cliche for a reason. And that's what we do here. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what you're going to get from us. And, of course, that's why we're continuously and relentlessly and baselessly attacked. And of course, one of the big ones these days, and even talking about this is difficult because I'm debunking their debunking, right? They're lying about us lying. So it's not straightforward as I'd like it to be, but it's the Haitian cats thing. It's Haitians eating cats, stealing pets, taking ducks from the duck pond, and over and over and over the last couple of weeks. They have insisted that this doesn't exist and isn't real. And that I guess it was made up. You can even just put yourself in the mindset of a leftist and how they think this goes. Because it was the same thing with the Venezuelan gangs. I guess under their conception of the world, there's just racists out there with no problems who just they just see Haitians like some Haitian family, like well-dressed, just like moving in, improving the city of Ohio. And they're just like, oh, but they're black and I hate them because they're black and I must smear them with something. I'll say they eat cats. I know. I'll lie about their diet. That's what I'll do. And then this gets just like, really, is that really what you think? This was a racist thing that came about? Or do you think that people were just like, oh, it's the new neighbors. It's the Haitians. And then one day we're like, where's Fluffy? I'll go ask the neighbor and walk over, peek over the fence, and there's Fluffy on the grill. Do you really think that people just made this up? Do you really think that this was a racist smear that Republicans were spreading because they want chaos and strife and division, because they want racism? Like, that's the ultimate goal. Republicans, they don't actually care about sovereignty or the ability to, you know, have a government that actually doesn't despise and isn't intentionally genociding you. You know, none of those concerns are legitimate. They want you to believe that Republicans just have some festering desire to see hatred around them, and so they're making things up. Like, their worldview is so not just wrong and nonsensical and illogical, it's like evil. Like, they truly believe they live in a world that is just beset by just senseless white supremacy, violent MAGA extreme, like the world that these people live in, the cognitive framework that they're operating in is so far divorced from reality. It's really sad. It's really sad for them, actually. And the saddest part about it is when the people in the real world with the genuine concerns try desperately to get the illusion people, the people that live in the realm of deception, to do their jobs or to care about them even a little bit. So we're going to go to a video here. This is from Springfield, Ohio. I believe this was back in either July or August. I think the date's on the video. But this is not like a new thing. This is not like, oh, because J.D. Vance talked about it, now people are going up and yelling at that. No, this was before anybody in the mainstream media was talking about it. Nobody knew about this as a national story. This was months ago where a city council member of Springfield is on hot mic saying, I don't give a blank about the business of the city. Saying, I don't give a damn, in less friendly words, I don't give a damn about the concerns of these people. So insulting, so dismissive, so condescending. And this woman, citizen, going up and speaking to city council, lets them off easy. Let's just say that. Let's go now to clip number 5.
When audience comments were over last meeting, most of us left. We had the agenda. We knew the topics. And we know the votes you're going to cast. It's all going to be yes as usual. During the break, Crystal forgot to turn her mic off and announced to the entire city that we don't give a shit. With that statement, Crystal single-handedly proved that this is how the citizens of this city are talked about between yourselves. This is where our concerns and fears get us in your eyes. Thanks, Crystal. Thanks for that. So I'm going to ask you, before I'm done with this joke, who the hell don't give a shit again?
I beg your pardon. Thank you.
I beg your pardon. How dare you say our words back to us, ma'am? We're allowed to crap all over you, but if you complain about it, I'd ask you to step out right now. How dare you? How dare you react appropriately to us disrespecting you in public? Caught on hot mic saying literally, quote, I don't give a blank about business of the city. So this can't go on much longer, and nor should it, and nor should these people stand for it. And this is the best example I've ever seen of the type of government that our founders would have seen as the perfect excuse to create a new government. It's the right of the people to reject the government when it doesn't serve its purpose. And you got a bunch of out-of-touch, destructive, genocidal weirdos sitting on your city council who laugh amongst themselves about how little they care about you. The time for abolishing the bureaucracy that supports them is here. It's here. The people in Springfield, for their own sake, you just call a meeting. Replace them all. Replace the whole system if they want. Because this is where so-called democracy has gotten us so far. So that was from July 30th. But it goes back even further. Let's go down to clip number 21. This is the Springfield city manager who was, of course, the one who they keep quoting. Remember, this is the leftist tactic. And this is the important part about talking about the lies of the left is they desperately attempt to cover up this very real story attempt to dismiss and label as hate the genuine concerns of American citizens, is that you can learn their tactics. I've already explained to you the weasel words that they use. Well, it wasn't a real report. It wasn't a certified report. And it wasn't about them eating pets, right? So they'll take or even, you know, implant details that change the statement just enough so that they're technically telling the truth when they say, this has never happened. No, it's never happened that a credible report with a, you know, charge, somebody arrested, like nobody's been arrested, sure, but like, but doesn't mean it's not real. So they add in weasel words, they add in these little things that allow them to make these claims. But the other thing they do is they'll take one expert, even sort of tangentially related to the incident, they'll get them to make a statement. Doesn't matter if it's true, doesn't matter if it's false, doesn't matter if it's actually a statement about the event or something not quite about it. But as long as they get that statement, then that's it. That's the statement. That's the only thing that you need to know. Forget the mayor saying it. Forget the city council saying it. Forget the citizens saying it. Forget the police reports. Forget the eyewitness accounts. Forget the pictures and videos of it happening. Because the city manager said there's been no credible reports, so you're spreading this information. Because apparently one city manager, which sounds like a, you know, bureaucratic pencil pusher, like what the hell does this person even know? Because they said that no credible reports have been made, then the whole thing's fake. And they do this over and they did it with the Venezuelan people. Like, well, but the governor of Colorado says it's not happening. Again, there's video, there's evidence, there's the on-the-ground reports, there's the police reports, there's the city council, there's the mayor. They're all saying it is happening. But the governor simply asserted that it's not. So that's what they go with. That's the person that they act like is the supreme arbiter of truth. And, you know, so from now on, like you're just forevermore until you can get, I guess, that mayor to admit it. Then they can just ignore every other piece of evidence ever. And this works. Somehow this works on the minds of liberals. This works. And it's just the excuse they need mentally. It's like the cognitive dissonance bridge. It's like they know it's happening. They don't want to think it's happening. And they just need something for their own internal comfort to justify their ignoring of this problem. And so that little bridge is, well, the city manager said it didn't exist. And they go, oh, phew, all right, I don't have to care about this now. Just a little excuse to let them ignore the real issue and continue to lie about the problem. Except there's a little hiccup here in that as far back as March of earlier this year, the city manager is on video acknowledging that they do know that this happens, that they do have reports of domestic animals being eaten. So even their one tangential authority figure that made the sweeping detailed statement that it's not true, he's just blatantly outright lying and contradicting his own words from months ago. So let's go down to clip number 21.
Laws and you know, culture is 180 degrees different than what they're used to. And one of the things that hurt, that I heard that bothered me very much, I've actually had quite a few people contact me here lately, is some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animal in the neighborhood. We've had some stuff in the park that they're being taken advantage of for reasons other than, and if you shake your head, Brian.
I asked me if there was proof.
Okay.
You just don't have proof of it.
People that have confided in me have asked me for anonymity. I can't give their names up.
I mean, we haven't seen the proof that you're talking about. And I've heard about it.
Yeah.
No, I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard about it. I just assert that it's not happening. I just demand proof. Like, that's not their job. So it's all a lie. And of course, so we just tell the truth about something happening. They claim it's a racist lie. They pretend there's outrage about it. Then they blame us for bomb threats on the basis of this information, which only even makes sense if the information is false in the first place. Like, if something's really happening
and I talk about it, and people do bomb threats about the thing happening. They're not doing it because I talked about it. They're doing it because the thing is happening. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. These people don't care. They're just liars. So let's not get all worked up about it. But turns out even the bomb threats aren't real. And Dana Bash of CNN, when interviewing J.D. Vance, very directly blamed him, said, it's your fault. You talked about this. You have caused bomb threats to schools. Apologize right now. The bomb threats never existed. They were all from overseas. Let's go to clip number 9.
At least 33 separate bomb threats, each one of which has been responded to, and each one of whom has been found as a hoax. So 33 threats, 33 hoaxes. I want to make that very, very clear. None of these had any validity at all. We know that people are very, very concerned, and we have taken some actions, and in a moment I'll let Andy Wilson go into more detail. But we've moved resources into Springfield. So I want to say to the parents in Springfield, these hoaxes, these threats have all been hoaxes. None of them have panned out. We have people, unfortunately, overseas who are taking these actions.
So there's Governor DeWine admitting that all the bomb threats in Springfield, inspired by vicious racist J.D. Vance lying about Haitians eating cats. Well, it turns out the Haitians were eating cats. Turns out the city manager that denied it has known about it since at least March, but he says he knew about it even before then. And all of the bomb threats were hoaxes. They came from overseas. So no aspect of what they believe is even remotely true. Let's just perfectly clear. And all of this is, of course, centered around this main revelation from yesterday, which is the actual 911 call where it's reported in a credible report, ABC, that the person who calls in, quote, thinks her neighbors stole her cat and chopped it up and have it in their backyard. She is advising the neighbors are Haitian and doesn't know who they are. An officer went out to speak to her. She advised her that her cat went missing, has not been seen since. She found meat in the backyard, thinks it was her cat. No bones or fur around the meat. She suspected the Haitian neighbors. No evidence to support this claim. Unknown if the meat she actually had was cat meat. Anna had collected the meat and put it in her fridge in hopes to get it cremated. Good Lord. Good Lord. This woman, yeah, hide your cats, hide your wife. Chase Geyser with some very good advice there. This poor woman has her Haitian neighbors steal and chop up her cat. She's like collecting the carcass from their yard. The police are just like, but do you have any proof that they did it? Just holding the dismembered carcass of her animal.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. We're going to finish up here with the Haitian migration invasion genocide story. And I'm going to move on to the Hezbollah pager terrorist attack by Israel. Explain some things that only I know, it appears. So I'll reveal the motive behind it. And we'll speculate about the method by which this was carried out. But just to finish up with the Haitian question we're trying to answer here. They all lied about the fact that Haitians are eating cats. They called it hate speech and blamed bomb threats on J.D. Vance and others for discussing this real issue caused by their policy. But, of course, those bomb threats were all hoaxes and all came from overseas. So lie upon lie upon lie. It's a lie layer cake that we're feasting on. But it's not just about the Haitians eating cats. Let's be very clear. It's not even about Haitians eating cats, and it's not about Springfield, Ohio. It's about the massive, deliberate importation of tens of thousands of third world foreigners as globally sourced scab workers to displace and disenfranchise the American people. When you bring in a block of 20,000 new voters into a district, that becomes their district. It's what they did in Minnesota. I mean, they've done it for years, and they are specifically, deliberately, and exclusively doing it to red, conservative, white places. And they tell you that, but just to be clear, Todd Starnes on X. The feds dumped Haitian migrants in tiny Sylacauga, Alabama. Local leaders were not told in advance. This small southern town does not have the resources to care for the migrants. Sylacauga is a deep red town in a deep red county. Democrats are dumping illegals into small towns to create chaos. They want to destabilize the nation. And of course, they're making millions of dollars from this. But just to get an idea of the scale of all of this from Data Hazard on X, remember when Congress changed the statutory definition of inadmissible to mean illegal aliens we fly into the interior of the country? You're telling me Congress never passed a law authorizing that and Biden-Harris didn't even campaign on doing it? Well, I'm sure the courts will take care of this anti-democratic abuse of office in a timely fashion and will dole out appropriate punishment to all the bad actors, which will sufficiently disincentivize future abuses of the electorate. And here you see a bar graph comparing the so-called inadmissible aliens from Obama and Trump, both of which far under the 10,000 count, where under Biden and Harris, it's upwards of 800,000, probably closer to a million. So just massive, deliberate importation of millions of foreigners into red towns and states by executive fiat with no legal basis to do so, no actual asylum claim fulfilled, and it's a obvious and, if not solved quickly, irreversible genocide against the American people. That's what it is. That's what it is. Read the definition of genocide. To deliberately deprive people of the ability to support themselves, to deliberately lower birth rates or exclude people or manipulate the political process to deny natives of an area the right to oppose their own destruction politically. This is the necessary groundwork for literal genocide. So Let's be clear. Excuse me, from Infowars.com. MSM still pushing bomb threat hoax after Governor DeWine debunked it as foreign interference operation. Doesn't matter. They're still saying it. This story from the Dispatch, I probably won't have time to get into today. I might have to save it for tomorrow. But it's times like this that they let their hatred, their racism, their just vile, putrid souls be put on display. And throughout this article, that's ostensibly the whole point of it, is to shame J.D. Vance and others for talking about Haitians eating cats because that's racist. It's just replete with just like J.D. Vance's hillbilly ancestors. It turns out he's just Cletus, the gap-toothed Twitter troll. People hate you.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's somewhat blackpilling to know this is true, but it is absolutely true. There's no bottom to this rabbit hole. There's no end to the evil. There's no point at which we can arrive where everybody in America looks at each other and goes, all right, well, that's crazy. All right, we've gone too far. We've gone too far. I mean, when you're saying that the Trump assassin is a MAGA Republican and people are just going, yep, that's what I heard. Yeah, I heard he voted Trump. He's one of those crazy Trump supporters. You know, they're so dangerous. They try to kill their own leader. I mean, it's just absurd. It's absurd. It's absurd. It's absurd. There's no bottom. There's no end. There's no limit. There's no terminus to the absurdity that people will guzzle down from the mainstream media. Likewise, there is no limit to the depravity, violence, gleeful humiliation of Israel. I can't, you keep thinking this can't go on much longer. You keep sitting there going, well, they're blowing up hospitals and churches and schools and children, and they're not even doing damage to Hamas. Like, this is crazy. This can't go on, right? And then they're just like, we just bombed the water treatment plant. We just bombed their ability to drink clean water, and we're sending them hundreds of thousands of polio vaccines because we love them so much. And you're just like, what is happening? What the hell is going on? And you know, all through November, just the world is traumatized by the continual stream of the most horrific, gory, violent, disgusting videos. And then 9-10 months later, every week there's a headline, new deadliest day of bombing. Widest bombing campaign yet of the war. West Bank invaded, dozens killed. And you just go, what the hell, man? It was so crazy and so bad in the beginning, and then it gets worse. Then it just gets worse and worse and worse. So the latest is like not just bad in terms of the scale. It was sort of minor, actually. I mean, the bombing raids on Gaza and the refugee camps in Rafah and things like that. I mean, when they're sending in food aid trucks and then bombing the food aid trucks, or when they're sending in food caravans and then machine gunning the people, the starving people running out to get the food. You think like, wow, this is it. You've done it. You've reached the pinnacle of human evil. Congratulations. You cannot be more evil without actually transforming into a metaphysical demon. So not much farther to go here. In terms of scale and casualty numbers, it might not be the biggest attack. But in terms of wanton, senseless murder, violence, indiscriminate maiming of random people, I've never seen anything like this. I've never even visualized something. I can't. It's almost beyond understanding. And then that's compounded by the fact that prominent Israelis and Americans, for that matter, like, get off on this. They're like, yeah, we disabled a bunch of Hezbollah people. And no proof of that. Little girls died. Dozens of people died. I'll give you all the stats here. It was like, it's crazy enough. But then to see people aren't even appalled by it. They like think it's so cool. They're like, yeah, this is awesome. Israel is amazing. Isn't Israel so amazing? You know, this is like watching one of those videos of an old 80-year-old guy walking down the street in New York City. Some 15-year-old black kid comes up and just hits him on the back of the head with a bat. People are like, man, that black kid is awesome. Do you see what he did there? That guy never saw it coming. He's so good at violence. It's like, good Lord. Or the other thing I see on X is people going, it's war. Hey, man, it's war, okay? Crazy things happen in war. Maybe they shouldn't be terrorists. Okay, we can get into what Hezbollah is. Is there anything that you would be appalled by? Is there anything that you would see happening? It's like, well, they're kidnapping children and they're killing them with paper cuts while constantly spraying lime juice on their wounds. Hey, it's war, bro. Hey, that's war, though, you know? Skinning babies alive for fun? It's war, dude. Lots of crazy. Maybe they shouldn't shoot missiles at communications towers. So, I don't know. The bloodthirstiness, the insanity, the vile, vicious, relentless evil is taking a toll on the soul of humanity, I think, and has to be stopped by whatever means necessary. Let's get into this pager attack, first of all. And again, I've got some not well known dimensions to this that I think inform a lot of it. From New York Times, Israel's pager attack has no clear strategic goal, analysts said. Oh, so just wanton violence then, just random, purposeless disfiguring of civilians. Amazing. By targeting so many pagers at the same time, Israel demonstrated technical prowess, but its long-term intent is unclear. Oh, I think I can clear it up for you, folks. No, I think I can handle this. I know, apparently nobody at the New York Times has, you know, basic observational talent. Here's what's happening. Israel wants to conquer Lebanon. They want to eradicate the Lebanese. They want to eradicate the Palestinians. They want a greater Israel, which includes most of the Levant and what we know as the Middle East. And they're committing genocide to achieve that. The only thing preventing them from doing to Lebanon what they have done and continue to do in Gaza is a nationalist militia called Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been extremely restrained in their responses to Israeli aggression, and Israel is trying to poke the bear and get them to attack Israel, because if Hezbollah attacks Israel in a real, you know, invasion way and in a real full-fledged war sort of way, that's when America gets in, that's when Iran gets in, that's when the golems kill each other for the sake of Israel. So that's what's happening. That's the strategic goal. The strategic goal is pestering, is inflaming tensions, is revenge, if you want to know the truth. Israel's attack on pagers belonging to Hezbollah on Tuesday was a tactical success. Sure. Okay. You did it. Yes. The knockout game was a tactical success. Yeah. You pointlessly inflicted suffering on others. Well done. Well, it embarrassed Hezbollah and appeared to incapacitate many of the members. Not really. The attack has not so far altered the military balance along the Israel-Lebanon border, where more than 100,000 civilians on either side have been displaced by a low-intensity battle. Hezbollah and the Israeli military remained locked in the same pattern, exchanging missiles and artillery fire on Wednesday at a tempo in keeping with the daily skirmishes fought between both sides since October. Although Tuesday's attack was an eye-catching demonstration of Israel's technological prowess, Israel has not initially sought to capitalize on the confusion it sowed by initiating a decisive blow against Hezbollah and invading Lebanon. And that's the only way that this even makes sense, is that, you know, if you're taking out all the communications, that would be a preliminary to invasion, but obviously they're not invading. Other people suggesting that they intended to not actually carry out this operation until a wider war started. So their intention was seed these pagers throughout Hezbollah, start an open conflict with Lebanon. Once they're in the heat of things, once all of the soldiers are mobilized and they'll have their pagers with them and communication with immediacy is necessary for the operation to continue, then you blow up the pagers, you cut their communication networks completely, and you hurt the maximum number of them. And I guess they thought that maybe they were going to get caught in this operation before they were able to pull it off, and so they just went ahead and pulled the trigger early. I have questions about all this. I'm not sure any of this is real. I mean, obviously, the explosions are real. But I don't think there is a clear answer whatsoever yet as to whether there were actually explosives placed in the pagers or whether these were just the batteries themselves being primed to explode through some sort of hacking mechanism. So far as I know, there hasn't been published any investigations. Like, the obvious thing to do would be the Lebanese authority would go to the site of one of these explosions and test it for residue. They could tell us whether there were explosives there or whether this was just a battery fire. I really don't know, because neither one is particularly believable to me. But you could say, okay, the we packed explosives in the pager argument is cover, because they don't want people knowing that they could just do this to all electronics that we all carry every day, right? Because that was everybody's first response was like, is my phone going to explode? Wait, can they do this to me? And so they sort of go, well, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about our ability to kill anybody anywhere who has a phone. We packed explosives in these pagers. Now, I don't believe that for a number of reasons. First of all, I have trouble believing that they could even have access to these pagers with sufficient time and resources to fill them with explosives. Also, apparently this operation's been going on for 5 months, they say. And you're telling me that pagers owned by a bunch of paramilitary member young men, not a single pager is cracked open in 5 months, not a single pager has been dropped, not a single pager has malfunctioned, and the guy takes it apart to try to fix it and is like, what is all of this powder in here? Like, not once in 5 months has a single pager been opened. Never once has there been a explosive detection. The idea, by calling Hezbollah terrorists, which just means the enemy of Israel, you paint this picture of like dumb people, of just like stupid, dumb people that could fall for something like this. Hezbollah has hundreds of thousands of missiles in massive underground caverns. Like, they know how to do things. You can't do that and not kill yourself without expertise and intelligence and systems where you know what you're doing and things are carefully done. You can't transport, arm, fire, store hundreds of thousands of missiles and not know what you're doing. Okay, so these people know what they're doing. So I really don't believe that explosives were packed in here. They say they did. Israel says explosives in pagers sold to Hezbollah. They say Israel carried out operations against Hezbollah on Tuesday by hiding explosive material within a new batch of Taiwanese-made pagers imported into Lebanon, according to American and other officials briefed on the operation. The pagers, which Hezbollah has ordered from Gold Apollo in Taiwan, Although that's interesting. I saw another article saying that Gold Apollo was not the... But this is New York Times, so, you know, they know what they're talking about. The New York Times is trustworthy, of course. Gold Apollo in Taiwan had been tampered with before they reached Lebanon, according to some of the officials. Most were the company's AR-924 model, although three other Gold Apollo models were also included in the shipment. The explosive material, as little as 1 to 2 ounces, was implanted next to the battery in each pager, two of the officials said. A switch was also embedded that could trigger remotely to detonate the explosives. Again, just to speculate here, just to give all the potential options. Either they have people inside the factory, they have cooperation with the corporation to plant this stuff in the pagers before they go out. That also requires whatever political or, you know, legal pressure they had to wield against this company to get them to do this, or, you know, what a blackmail they had to wield or whatever. They'd have to find out, you know, where this order was coming from, where it was going. Even the idea of Hezbollah bulk ordering electronic, all this seems a little bit suspect to me. Or they intercept the shipment, which is even less believable. So you're telling me they not only identified where the order was coming from, they identified, I guess, the vessel it was shipped on, this order of pagers. They intercept that vessel. They waylay it long enough to remove all of the pagers, undo all of the packaging, plant a switch and a battery pack and an explosive device, reseal the pager, reseal the packaging, pack it back on the ship in a way that's totally undetectable to the highly sophisticated Hezbollah security officials, and get it back on its merry way in enough time that Hezbollah doesn't notice a delay. They don't start asking questions. Gee, why is this shipment 3 days late? They're able to do this with 4,000 pagers in like a couple hours. I don't know. That seems a little bit far-fetched to me. Could be true. And, of course, the easiest thing would be the Mossad shows up at the factory floor and just goes, these pagers are going to Hezbollah, and we're in charge of the factory now, and the president says so. So they say the attacks targeted Hezbollah where they are most vulnerable. Yes, in grocery stores and at home, and possibly not Hezbollah. 11 people have been killed, more than 2,700 injured. The first person to be reported dead was a 10-year-old girl. So again, you know, just expressing the horror that this should, you know, bring about in people. This idea that Israel is first world country is just indiscriminately bombing an entire country. Like, I mean, they turned something like 4,000 pagers into miniature hand grenades and just threw them into grocery stores across Lebanon. This horrific madness. And if you express that online, people are either like, it's war, bro, whatever. Who cares if these people do horrific, unstrategic, senseless, vengeful violence for no reason? It's war, bro. That's one. Or it's like, wow, Israel's so cool and awesome the way that they indiscriminately kill civilians, because the people saying that are, evil. Or they say, well, it's Hezbollah. They're terrorists. Okay, the terrorists as well. Sure. Again, I don't want to get into the definitions, but it wasn't just as well. They had no way of determining who had these pagers. They had no way of determining whether the person holding it at the time was a Hezbollah member, who they were with, whether they still had the pager that they maybe originally had, whether they went to Hezbollah members at all anyway. All that we know at this point, and Hezbollah has confirmed that at least a few of their soldiers got hit by this. But aside from their, you know, confirmation of that, all we know is that Israel just blew up a bunch of pagers in Lebanon and then told everybody, yeah, that was Hezbollah that we hit. You know, just like how Hamas has weapons in the basement of the hospital that mysteriously go missing as soon as all of the doctors and nurses and patients have been liquidated. They're just lying. I don't know what else to tell you. But I will tell you some things you're not going to see anywhere else that I only barely was able to catch yesterday as I researched this. First of all, just to talk about the international law-based order that we're going to World War III to preserve. More lies, just lies upon lies upon lies. But you're actually talking about legitimate, long-standing, multinational agreements about the definition of words, the Geneva Convention clearly denotes what is and is not a war crime, and this would be a war crime. Under Section 4 of the Geneva Convention of 1949, additional protocols and their commentaries, indiscriminate attacks are prohibited. Indiscriminate attacks are defined as those which are not directed at a specific military target, those which employ method or means of combat which cannot be directed at a specific military objective, or those which employ a method or means of combat, the effects of which cannot be limited as required by this protocol. So, terrorism. So, all of these newspaper articles should all read Israeli terror attack on Lebanon. Terror attack against civilians of Lebanon in violation of the Geneva Convention, a war crime of escalating magnitude, just the latest in a series of outrages from Israel over the last year or so. Hezbollah has launched rockets into Israel for the first time since the Pager attacks. Now, let's go back to before the Pager attacks. There's always a tit for tat. If you watch this show or if you watch Moonbase, we lay this out very clearly, and you should know this by now. There's a unspoken but fairly well adhered to algorithm of response between Hezbollah and Israel. A one for one, a tit for tat, a back and forth standard by which the conflict isn't allowed to escalate more than people want, but also allows both sides to save face and not look like they're, you know, not reacting to attacks against them. So where the latest sort of round of tit for tat started was Hezbollah was firing weapons at a Israeli base. A missile, either a Iron Dome missile or a Hezbollah missile, landed on a soccer pitch and killed some Syrian Druze people who are under Israeli protection. Israel made a big deal about this, said Hezbollah is killing civilians. We're going to respond. They responded by bombing an apartment building in Beirut, in sort of the heart of the Hezbollah neighborhood there in South Beirut. And they took out a Hezbollah leader. Then Hezbollah responded with a massive missile barrage into Israel that you probably haven't heard too much about. They mentioned it a little bit. But there was this big buildup to like, well, Lebanon's really going to respond now. These guys, they bombed Beirut. They bombed a civilian building. They bombed an apartment building, like right in downtown. They killed your commander. And Hezbollah was like, we're going to respond big time. They send a bunch of missiles, and then you don't hear too much about it. Well, what happened in that bombardment from Hezbollah against Israel, apparently, according to Hezbollah and European intelligence agencies, that attack was actually extremely successful, and Israel is lying about it and is covering up the effectiveness of that strike, because what reportedly happened with that Hezbollah strike against Israel is that they struck the headquarters of Israeli Cyber Command from the cradle. Dozens killed during Hezbollah's attack on Israel's Unit 8200 HQ. Hezbollah's retaliatory attack against two Israeli military and intelligence sites in late August resulted in dozens of casualties, European security sources told Al-Mayadeen on 12th of September. Oh, wow. Okay, wait. Breaking news, folks. We're going to go back to this story. Cops find explosives in car near Trump rally on Long Island after second assassination attempt. Former President Donald Trump's Long Island, New York speech site perimeter was breached ahead of his rally this evening. A large crowd has already assembled and many camped out overnight to get good seats in the indoor arena. Trump has largely moved to indoor events since the first attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th. This is a breaking news story. So we'll bring you more of this. This just broke moments ago. Cops find explosives in car near Trump rally. Don't say we didn't warn you, folks. I heard Alex Jones this weekend say the next attempt would be in less than a week. I have been saying for a long time I thought the next attempt would be a car bomb of some sort, pointing to something like ammonium nitrate being used as easily accessible and massively damaging. It's going to keep happening, folks. We're in civil war. It's just only one side is fighting. The side is out for blood. And if you think they're not going to cheat in the election to win and then try to kill you for opposing them,
supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful body's formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Body's is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings of vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Just terror and violence continues to plague us here. Cops find explosives in car near Trump rally on Long Island after second assassination attempt. This breaking just minutes ago, Daily Mail has the story. Police reportedly found explosives in car near former President Donald Trump's rally site on Long Island ahead of his speech Wednesday evening. It's the latest shocking security breach and comes just 3 days after a would-be assassin was arrested at his Palm Beach golf club. Sources in the Nassau County Police Department allegedly told One American News journalist James Lolino that the rally site perimeter was breached and a blue barrel was removed. In addition, during the canine sweep, they apparently found an explosive device in one of the vehicles. So I assume these are the same thing. But when they say the perimeter was breached and a blue barrel was removed, they say in addition, the canine sweeps found an explosive device in one of the vehicles. It sounds like these are two different things, but hopefully we'll get some more clarification on this. The sources said the driver of the car ended up running into the woods. No one saw if he had anything on him. They just saw him take off running. A lot of cars are now parking. They're lining up on Hempstead Turnpike, just parking on the grass. Even over at Eisenhower Park, they're just parking over there, the source went on to say. Thousands of MAGA fans are expected to descend upon Long Island this afternoon ahead of the 7 p.m. Eastern Time rally at Nassau Coliseum. Former President Donald Trump's Long Island, New York speech site perimeter was breached. A large crowd is already assembled. He has largely moved to indoor events following the first attempt on his life in Butler. This is a breaking news story. Yeah, it's not going to keep happening. It's not going to stop happening any time soon, especially with the people in charge of the investigations actually covering up so much about what is going on in a way that is really unprecedented and shocking. And this, of course, by definition, is terrorism. It's just terrorism. This might have been an assassination plot. They might have intended the explosion to take out Donald Trump. But it sounds like from the information we have now, which is everything I've just read to you, sounds more like this was targeting the supporters. Sounds more like maybe this person intended to use the car to blow up other cars waiting or parking or the crowds of people ahead of the event. So when you commit indiscriminate violence against a civilian population with the intention of diminishing their ability to engage in a political action, like going to a rally for a candidate, that's what we call definitional verbatim terrorism. That is terrorism. Crazy. That's just absolutely insane. The crew is going to stay on this. I'm going to get back to the other example of wanton extremist terrorism in Israel here. But any new information we have about that, I will bring to you as soon as possible. So stay tuned for that. I do want to remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Support this free speech outlet, but more than a free speech outlet, this champion of peace, a small, you know, gathering of nobodies in Central Texas that are just doing everything we possibly can to expose the lies that are heading, driving us recklessly towards World War III and nuclear exchange with Russia or Iran or our fellow Americans. That's just insane. It's all insane. It's all completely insane. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to support us. Now, I'm not going to have time to take your phone calls. This show, I'm going to continue to tell you what I think is really the motive behind the Pager attack against Lebanon yesterday. And I'm going to get into what happened in Russia as well. So much more. I don't even have time to cover. And I'm going to be joined by Ivan Raiklin. We're going to talk about free speech mostly and what it's happening in that realm, and the good people fighting back against that and the bad people working tirelessly to steal that birthright from you. And I think what I'm going to start doing is pulling up the comment section on the InfoWars live stream. So if you go to X and you go to @InfoWars, you can see the latest post is a live stream of this program. And if you click on that, it brings up a chat room where you can comment along live. And so I'm just going to have that open during the show. We used to do this with Rumble, but it got way too spammy and it was just a distraction and people just went there deliberately to like just post gross or weird or offensive crap. And it just wasn't worth it at the end of the day. I'm hoping X will be a little bit different because at least on X, you kind of have to just have an account that is most of the time related to you in some way. It's not something that people... I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes, but we'll read out comments on that and take your input there since we don't have time for calls today. I know it's not... it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Car bombs. We are blindly, like frogs in the boiling water, we are slipping seamlessly into third world status. You get what it's like living in a third world. Oh, another assassination attempt. Huh. Another day, another car bomb going off. Well, it didn't hit me today, so we'll carry on. The normalization of this is really troubling and unnecessary. And we cannot let ourselves become just like a nerd to this, just accepting. It's just the new reality. Yeah. Sometimes people take shots at Trump. Yeah, if somebody is, you know, against you politically, you try to kill them. And if people support that person, you try to kill those people. Well, he's a Nazi after all. Yeah, we can't let them normalize political violence on top of all the other things they're doing to thrust us into third world undeveloped status as we slide backwards down the civilizational slope. So I got a little distracted there right at the culmination of my coverage. So getting back into it, dozens killed during Hezbollah's attack on Israel's unit 8200 HQ. So if you remember, tit for tat. Missile kills people at a soccer pitch. Israel bombs apartment building in Beirut. Hezbollah bombs Israel. Radio silence. No mainstream media coverage of the effects. Hezbollah actually then came out with Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, actually came out with a video going, Israel, admit what we did. Admit your casualties. Stop hiding your casualties or we're going to do it again. Nobody really knew what he was talking about. Well, apparently they had a successful strike on Unit 8200, Israel's cyber warfare headquarters and psychological operations headquarters. The operation was substantially successful, with fatalities reaching 22 and 74 members injured, Al-Mayadeen cited the European intelligence sources as saying. Our information from within occupied Palestine and from sources outside Palestine was corroborated, aligned with, and confirmed with what Al-Mayadeen has reported, says Hezbollah spokesman Ibrahim Al-Musawi. The report coincided with news of the resignation of Brigadier General Yossi Suriel, the commander of Unit 8200. So basically this resignation happened basically right at the same time as this attack took place, and Israel has officially censored any coverage of this attack, so we don't have a way of verifying it through Israel, and of course, the mainstream media has absolutely nothing about this. The only place you're finding this is places like The Cradle or Al-Mayadeen or Al Jazeera, who are simply reporting what Hezbollah has said, but it sort of makes sense. So Israel... Unit 8200's Glilat base is located in a Tel Aviv suburb around 6 miles north of the city. The Ein Shemer base is around 40 kilometers from Tel Aviv. Israel imposed strict censorship on the event, which is yet to be lifted. A significant number of drones hit their intended target, but the enemy is keeping all relevant details concealed. The days and nights will reveal the truth of what happened here, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah said at the time. They also have this from Al Jazeera about Hassan Nasrallah's televised speech after the heavy exchange of fire between the Lebanese group and Israel. Israel said it launched a preemptive strike on Hezbollah sites in Lebanon before the attack began and denied any significant damage in Israel. And this is where speculation comes in a little bit, but I think the logical chain is sound. in that Hezbollah bombs the headquarters of the Israel elite hacking unit. And then there's a hack attack against their, you know, pager network that blows them up. It seems like this was revenge. It seems like it didn't have any strategic purpose. Seems like it wasn't a well thought out preliminary to a wider invasion plan. It seems like Hezbollah hit Cyber Command, and so Cyber Command hit back. Where it gets maybe a little worse is the fact, and I've not been able to confirm or verify this, and it was actually extremely hard to find. I saw it originally and then was not able to find it for a while, but there are reports and there are scanners and observers who claim that a U.S. cyber warfare plane was in air off the coast of Lebanon for the first time in recent history, just as this occurred. So people are suggesting that this event had some American cooperation in all of it. And one thing that I know from just personal knowledge, let's just say, is that soldiers in a variety of different positions in the American Army will actually be paid bonuses by the American Army to put on Israeli uniforms and fight or work for Israel, much in the same way that NATO and American forces will put on Ukrainian uniforms and go fight our proxy war over there. Same thing's happening in Lebanon, in Israel. And on top of that, a lot of the people in the Israeli military, as we know from some of the hostages that were taken on October 7th, are in fact dual citizen American Israelis. So what is the likelihood that some of the people that were killed in the Israeli Cyber Command headquarters were American citizens or even American armed men, you know, military operatives that were there? And could this be a clandestine revenge mission between Israel and America operating in tandem? Again, the story about this is that they pack explosives into these pagers, 4,000 of them, intercepted the shipment or got access to them on the warehouse floor, however they did it. Supposedly they packed in explosives. The explosives were sizable for battery fires. And I don't think they have lithium batteries. There's some, you know, speculation about this too. The explosions to me didn't look like lithium battery fires. We've seen lithium battery fires a lot. They do explode sometimes or they'll get punctured. And it's usually a very bright, intense flame that like doesn't go out and goes for a long time. All of the videos that we saw, and we have several, clip 17, clip 18, clip 2, these are the actual explosions in grocery stores or the hospitals filled up with the injured. Because these people weren't, most of them weren't killed. I think only something like 11 people were actually killed from this. Some of them were little kids. Some of them were civilians. But the vast majority of people, perhaps upwards of 4,000 people across Lebanon, were just maimed. Were just, you know, spliced. They were had a chunk of their body forcibly dismembered. They didn't die. Just disfigured, deformed. And, you know, the sickness of this is that you've got normally reasonable people just like laughing at this, like thinking it's funny and just being like, oh, they're all terrorists. It's like, oh, really? The checkout woman at the grocery store, she deserved to have her face blown off? Absurd. So here's the report that, again, I've not been able to verify, but I saw it reported pretty widely initially, and then I couldn't find a lot of the posts. Not that they'd been removed, just that I thought just searching, you know, U.S. spy plane, Lebanon spy plane, pager attack would bring stuff up. But this is the only one I've been able to find. OSINT Arab sources report yesterday that an American Air Force aircraft of the type was spotted off the coast of Lebanon, EC-130H Compass Call. This aircraft is known to be used for electronic warfare. And if you just search the name of that plane, you can see just how, just what a powerful and robust platform this plane is. They say the EC-130H Compass Call is an airborne tactical weapon system using a heavily modified version of the C-130 Hercules airframe. The system disrupts enemy command and control communications and limits adversary coordination essential for enemy force management. The Compass Call system employs offensive counter-information and electronic attack, or EA, capabilities in support of U.S. and coalition tactical air surface and special operation forces. The EC-130H EA-6B or EA-18G and F-16CJ form the suppression of enemy air defenses triad. Programmed upgrades have expanded the mission by procuring a secondary EA capability against early warning and acquisition radars. The EC-130H continuously tests new capabilities and tactics to respond to emerging threats and requests from combatant commanders. So this plane, which has very rarely been flown in anywhere near combat zones, was apparently in the air off the coast of Lebanon at right around the time that this Pedro attack took place. And there's a lot of stories trying to dig in. I'm sure as the days go on, journalists will research this. They'll get in contact with the companies and get statements from them. And we may piece together if and when the explosives were planted in the pager. I have a feeling that there never were explosives in the pager. I have a feeling that's a cover story to disguise the fact that they could do this to anyone at any time with any electronic that has this, that can receive a signal. I could be wrong about that, but my interpretation, my analysis of this is this was a revenge attack by Israeli cyber command with no strategic value and done in a way that is very troubling for the future of humanity and means we live in a real-life Black Mirror episode in a way more real than previously thought. But we don't know. More may come out about this, but thousands of people injured in this senseless, widespread terror attack in Lebanon by Israel. Because, hey, it's war, bro. Why shouldn't we maim and dismember and disfigure children, right? It's war. They say, no, a war crime is when Hezbollah fires 8,000 missiles at civilians, forcing the evacuation of northern Israel, and amazingly awesome military operations when you pinpoint target Hezbollah terrorists by blowing up their pagers. They didn't pinpoint target Hezbollah people. There's no way of knowing if the pagers had were owned by Hezbollah. There's no way of them determining whether Hezbollah was around them. That's just a lie. That's just a lie. And by the way, Israel has killed many more civilians in Lebanon with missiles than Hezbollah has in Israel over this entire conflict. So if that's the metric by which you're grading what is and is not a terrorist country, Israel is the terrorist country superior. It is the finest and most glaring example of a country operating with a terroristic foreign policy. You absolute monsters. But here's an important thing about what Ben Shapiro just said. Warmongering scumbag, demon goblin person. Excuse me. If you remember, if you have a memory, if you're able to look back and plumb the depths of the past with me, just a few months ago, even less, really just last month, the rhetoric was, the talk was, the preparations were being made for an invasion of Lebanon. Because obviously, Hezbollah is this ragtag group of terrorists, and Israel, if they wanted to, could just sweep them off the map. They could just flip the board and, you know, they're just choosing not to because they're so loving and merciful. But what did we tell you? What have we been telling you since January of this year? That Lebanon and Hezbollah has changed the equation of deterrence in the area. That it's Israel that's on the back foot, not Hezbollah. That more likely then an Israeli invasion of Lebanon is a Hezbollah invasion of Israel, that Israel is in trouble economically and militarily in the north of that country as their citizens refuse to return because they cannot guarantee their safety in the face of unrestrained or uncombated Hezbollah rocket capabilities. And now they're admitting it. Now they're admitting, now they have changed their desired outcome of the conflict with Lebanon. Israel has changed their prognostication. They've altered their goals. From the cradle.co, safe return of northern settlers is now Israel's war goal as tensions with Lebanon mount. This is pretty major. I have to say, this is pretty major. When you look at the entire history of Lebanon and Israel, going back decades, this is the weakest Israel has ever looked. A month ago, they were saying they were going to invade Lebanon. They were gearing up to invade Lebanon. They were moving people to the north. They were preparing for this. They were acting like they were going to do it. We told you at the time, it's not going to go well. They might try, but only insofar as it gets America involved. Because only with America would they even have a fighting chance at having any sort of positive outcome from that excursion. So they might be like treating this as just like, well, we have changed our military objectives, but this is like a practically a surrender. And in terms of, you know, these two countries' relationship, the fact that Israel now is going, look, all we want to do is just get our people back into the north of Israel. Last month, they were saying they're making demands going, Lebanon, you must pull Hezbollah back 200 kilometers or whatever it was. You must, you know, pull them back beyond this line. You must return, you know, these bases. You must disassemble, take apart this Hezbollah network. They're making all these demands or claiming they were going to invade. Seems like maybe cooler heads prevailed. Seems like they actually read their own strategic documents that have said, and as we've shown you, that they can't defeat Hezbollah, that a all-out war against Hezbollah would be devastating, hugely negative for Israel. And so now they've revised their war goals. The Office of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu announced early on September 17th that the goals of the current war have been updated to include the return of settlers who were evacuated as a result of Hezbollah's attacks on Israel's north. The safe return of the residents of the north to their homes has been added to the list of goals, Netanyahu said in a statement. Israel will continue to act to achieve its goals. Well, Israel has yet to achieve any of its other goals, which include the liberation of captives being held by the Palestinian resistance and the defeat of Hamas. Tens of thousands evacuated from Israel's northern settlements, as well as the few who remained in the north, have expressed serious frustration and anger towards Netanyahu's government over the past several months over what they perceive as its failure to deter Hezbollah and bring them back to their homes. Settlers and the heads of settler councils in the north have repeatedly accused the government of abandoning them and at one point even declaring an intention to secede from Israel. A significant number of these settlers have expressed reluctance to return to the north, even if the war does come to an end. And of course, an opinion piece was published by Haaretz with Israel General Yitzhak Brick saying that Israel has failed to defeat Hamas in Gaza and is certainly unable to defeat Hezbollah. And yet they're so cocky. This is the weird thing. They're so cocky. This was from Konstantin Kissin. You know, this really awesome like right wing guy, like writes really well. He's really good at like going against DEI. Then you ask him about, you know, Israel. And they're just like, oh, we should castrate our enemies. Isn't that so funny? Because they do this. You know they do this, right? Not only are they making jokes about pagers in people's pockets blowing up their genitals so they can't create any more terrorist babies, but they do this in Israel, in the West Bank. Snipers will specifically and deliberately aim at the genitals of their victims. They don't want to kill them. They want to castrate them with a bullet. Evil. It's evil. It's all evil.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Clinton wants you to know that she can still endanger national security like nobody's business.
Journalists should really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well, the object in this case is Donald Trump, his demagoguery, his danger to our country and the world, and stick with it. You know, they were merciless about what they saw as President Biden's, problems in the debate.
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with,
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of this. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
I'm a deplorable. I'm a deplorable. You're going to jail, lady. Alex Jones. You've all been deceived. You've all been deceived.
Just as Mueller indicted a lot of Russians who were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
She had 8 years of co-presidency with Bill Clinton, then 8 years of co-presidency with Barack Hussein Obama. And I guess for her, 16 years is not enough. So she's got those visions of the anointed she wants back in, and she's still got that whole deep state in there. Most of the neocons are on her side as well, put in by the Bushes. And so that's why she's so confident. She's got the mainstream media. She's got the Chi-Com. She's got the Hollywood Americators. And we're learning who will really have the mandate of heaven. Will it be Donald Trump and the American people, or will it be the vicious, murderous Chi-Coms that, again, hold the record for the most people ever killed, times at least three times, 4 to 5 times what Hitler killed, twice what the Soviet Russians ever killed. That's from their own numbers, and that's who dictates to us from the moral high ground of what can be in a Tiffany's commercial or what a online video game event can talk about or say in America or what the NBA managers or players can discuss.
We are strongly dissatisfied and opposed Adam's claim to support Maury's right to free expression. We believe that any speech that challenges national sovereignty and social stability is not within the scope of freedom of speech. And they're right in China, but that's not the way we do things in America.
What can be on South Park.
I can't do it anymore, you guys. I can't even think with the Chinese government censoring everything I write. I mean, we live in a time where the only movies that us American kids go see are ones that are approved by China.
Well, maybe there does need to be a rematch. I mean, obviously, I can beat him again.
No, your massive election fraud almost beat Trump, but you failed in the Electoral College and you lost, which...
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent. But I also
Like she's talking about the price of gasoline or something or the price of tomatoes at the store. We need to go out from civilly or criminally. And when she says that, that means that's what the power structure is planning to do. So they decide something's disinformation. You know, they're the biggest liars around on record. They're the grand champions. Then they try to put you in jail. And they're introducing this idea everywhere. I see the left all over the place on national TV, on HBO, on X, everywhere, saying Alex Jones should be in jail. For the things he said, and of course they misrepresent even what I've said, but the things they claim I said are protected under the First Amendment. Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What a crazy world. You're watching American Journal on InfoWars.com, band.video on X. However you're finding us, we're glad that you have made it around the censorship blockade and are joining us here behind enemy lines. I'm joined in studio by Ivan Raiklin. He's a former Green Beret, recovering lawyer, ultra-marathon marathoner operating at the intersection of national security, startups, politics, and law. You probably recognize him from hearings in D.C. where you're always lurking in the background.
My current title is now the Deep State Marauder, though.
Deep State Marauders. I like it. It's got kind of a Harry Potter vibe to it. I'm up to no good. You can follow Ivan on X at Ivan Raiklin, the website Raiklin.com. So glad to see you in studio, sir.
Yeah, man. Good to be in studio, finally.
I'm very excited
for this conversation.
It is. Let me give an update because we've just had... what could perhaps be the third assassination attempt against the former president, although there's an update that's throwing some confusion into the mix. Suspicious occurrence near Donald Trump New York rally, what we know. So what was previously reported was that a suspicious car had explosives detected in it and somebody ran into the woods from the car. They also talked about removing a blue barrel that had been somehow smuggled past the security into the venue. The update now questions that. Wednesday morning, the Nassau Police Department said a suspicious occurrence near the location of former President Donald Trump's rally site occurred in Long Island. We did respond to a suspicious occurrence in the vicinity of Nassau Coliseum. However, there was no validity of an explosive device being found, a public information officer told Newsweek after a report about an explosive device at the rally circulated online. So that.
Yeah, but that was garbage week, right? So. You got to assess the source, and they haven't been very accurate, or they've been complicit in trying to promote an electoral heist from 2020. So you got to be cautious of that source as well.
Yeah, well, this seems like it was the...
Newsweek.
This is Newsweek.
Garbage week, yeah.
But they're quoting the police department, so I don't know, maybe they just didn't know about it or it didn't exist. I don't know.
I just put out some feelers to my contacts in Long Island. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll try to bring you updates on this. But, you know, obviously what it represents is this heightened atmosphere of political violence that as we descend into a third world nation, it's bringing with it a third world political system.
Absolutely.
So people kill their enemies.
Jamie Raskin is the one really promoting it recently, right? Remember a couple weeks ago he said we're going to have civil war conditions?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually commented to one of the publications that promotes this political violence known as Raw Sewage. Some people pronounce it as Raw Story.
I've heard of him.
And, they tried to confront me over at the RNC convention, and I conveyed to them, hey, relax, buddy. I'm not promoting political violence. I'm calling you out for actually not only calling for political violence, but I want you to join me in denouncing it with specific instances of that. Mm. For example, was it political violence when they went ahead and executed Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, the only time in American history inside the Capitol someone unarmed and peaceful was just gunned down and slaughtered and murdered? Yeah, I mean, what about John Brennan when he used vigilante style, without due process, a drone at the behest and calling of Barry Hussein, where they slaughtered and murdered an American citizen abroad. Remember that?
Of course,
using a drone strike.
The threat matrix,
And so it's this long arc of, with no accountability, political violence that has to stop. Yeah. And so that's why I think at this point, you know, it's not joking when I say someone has to step up to be the Secretary of Retribution, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the role that I'm filling until someone better can fill that role. And that means really coordinating the national effort and specifically in states that have enough government officials to be able to push back and withstand against this complete lawless, belligerent, illegitimate action and policies of the executive and federal government. And I think Texas is really where it's at, and that's why I'm doing the podcast circuit all week.
Yeah.
But I think we can solve this. These threats can be quickly solved as it applies to President Trump. And we talked about before going on live.
Why don't you break down your sort of plan of operations? Because I think it sounds brilliant. And look, the will is there. People that are awake, people that are MAGA supporters, like, we know something has to be done. We know action has to be taken. The will is there. We just need somebody to chart the path, and then I guarantee us and our representatives, the good ones, will follow it. So what is the path forward to remove this poison of political violence?
Right. Again, looking at my background, so I have a little bit of context from the perspective of a retired Green Beret lieutenant colonel, as a constitutional attorney. So I try to come up with plans that have successful conclusions to address a problem.
Right.
Now, due to the unconventional nature of our political climate right now, like, how can we fix this? And it really goes back to some of the things that I've been discussing, if you've been following me for quite some time, that at this point, with potentially a third assassination attempt, we need to strongly consider having a member of Congress, someone like a Bob Good from Virginia, who's the House Freedom Caucus chairman, go ahead and file a motion to vacate the chair for two reasons. One, Speaker Johnson has been in that position for 9 months, which is the same amount of time that Kevin McCarthy was in. And what has he done of any sort of value to America? Nothing.
Right.
All he's done is fund the very same institutions that are putting President Trump at risk. New headquarters, FBI? Yeah. Continuing to fund the DHS and beyond with more money so that Ali Mayorkas can go ahead and snub the impeachment. And there is not even a Senate trial in the Senate, but the House Speaker is not even advocating for that Senate trial to remove Ali Mayorkas.
Mm-hmm.
That's letting in 10, 15, God knows how many millions in the country.
Now even Blumenthal is coming out against Mayorkas because he's stifling the investigation into the assassination attempts.
Right. And the involvement, I mean, let's face it, who is responsible? It's the DHS's Secret Service that's responsible for protecting candidate Trump. You cannot rely on it. Two, maybe three instances of that. I call on literally today. Today is Wednesday. The House is in session. There's something called a privileged motion that any member of Congress can say, you know what? I am going to file my privileged motion that needs to be voted on, I believe, within 48 hours, where everybody has to convene and they vote on whether they're going to remove the Speaker of the House. It is now time to do so. Why? In order for them to vote Donald Trump to be the Speaker of the House so that he can appoint his own somebody he trusts to be the security professional as the House Sergeant at Arms. And then guess what? Not only it allows his trusted individual to protect and to defend himself, it allows him to go on full on offense.
Right.
Maximally. What does that look like? Number one, the House Sergeant at Arms right now is the chair of the Capitol Police Board. He can then release all the J6 information
right
like that. he can then force the general counsel of the U.S. Capitol Police to show his books on the weaponization against Trump himself,
right,
via the Jack Smith connection in the DOJ, as well as all 1,500 individuals. I know the insider's game, I think, better than the people that are in Congress based on my interactions.
Yeah.
Number two, he is then able to, like I said, protect himself. But number two, more importantly, remember Anna Paulina Luna filed the inherent contempt vote?
Yeah.
Well, we can do that as well with the Speaker Trump, because then he can go ahead and haul in Mayorkas. I'm not saying like subpoena. I'm talking about at this point, he orders his sergeant at arms. I don't know, Cash Patel.
Right.
Eric Prince. What does Eric
Alex
Prince
Jones
bring to the table with capability? Think exactly the same thing that they did to Roger Stone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
was that? Some people would call that a live stream swatting raid kidnapping.
Right.
But guess what? As the sergeant at arms under that inherent contempt authority, legally, morally, and ethically, we can do the same to Ali Mayorkas. Every single Secret Service individual that was involved or potentially involved in these insider job assassination attempts, you see how this completely shifts the entire political constitutional dynamic where we completely go on offense.
Yeah.
And this needs to happen literally today.
And
legal.
Before the show, you were talking about the fact that, you know, the extra security that Trump's campaign is having to pay for, the attention that's having to be paid towards making up for the lackadaisical nature of Secret Service, mm-hmm. all of that would go away. So all of those resources could be dedicated towards, going offensively.
Right. He doesn't have to expend a single penny on security with the campaign, because now he's president, candidate, Speaker of the House, Trump.
Right.
And as the Speaker of the House, as the lead of a bicameral legislative branch, he has so much authority.
Right.
And then guess what? If it happens today, he can now have influence over the next year's fiscal year budget against the very institutions that are weaponized against him, meaning he could totally fire everybody. He could literally be the governmental Elon Musk and lop off 80% of or more of the DOJ.
And
he can haul in Mayorkas, Garland, Chris Wray. Who else?
Well,
Austin, and former General Milley.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The most treasonous person in recent history.
What are we waiting for, Congressman Bob Good?
And this is
Troy Nels in Texas. Congressman Chip Roy in Texas. Anna Paulina Luna. Who else?
Thomas Massie.
Matt Gaetz, get on
Let's board.
Let's roll.
Yeah. And so this is legal.
Nancy
this
Mace
is possible.
Even.
It's literally just a matter of will, of them doing the process of their political calculus as to whether they should or not.
And here's how it would work. Just to kind of sweeten the pot. Phase one, motion to vacate. Phase two, nominate Trump. And then those Republicans that refuse to vote for Donald Trump to be the Speaker of the House, that translates into they want him assassinated. And their constituents need to politically remove those Republicans come November 5th that refuse to vote for Donald Trump. I want them to call our bluff, because I think patriots within the establishment, we represent enough power, negative power, meaning we can guarantee their loss, the incumbents. We don't have enough power to control the entire operation within the Republican Party and then have enough influence over the Republicans that are already leveraged through blackmail, et cetera, but we can create the negative pressure to remove their political power,
right?
By voting for the Democrat, and by the way, that Democrat that is running against that Republican that fails to basically that votes to assassinate Trump, which is meaning not voting to have him as Speaker.
Yeah.
The Democrat hasn't done that. So that's a safer person that is not advocating for political violence. What needs to be understood is that a vote to not elect Donald Trump to be Speaker is a vote to assassinate him. And any Republican that votes to not support Speaker Trump, that is a politically violent actor that needs to be removed from the equation.
So, and again, it's like, is it really that simple? Is it really that simple that it's just a congressman needs to put this forward, the other congressmen need to get on board. Trump, he doesn't have to be a congressman to be Speaker of the House. He, even though he's a candidate, he can still become Speaker of the House. And would it be this time next week we have Speaker Trump being sworn in? I mean, how does
this
work?
We've inched closer and closer to this. Back in November of 2022, when Republicans won the House, I started to advocate this theory
come
January of 2023. Well, we were able to block Kevin McCarthy for about 14, 16 votes.
Right.
But he came in as a weaker, what he originally thought, right? But then you had 9 months later, Matt Gaetz did exactly what I'm advocating right now.
Right.
But I think the person that is best positioned, and by the way, I was communicating with Matt Gaetz during that period of time and his staff. I think the best individual to do so in today's political climate, based on, without going into too many details, it would be Congressman Bob Good, because he is the House Freedom Caucus chairman currently. And, I mean, other individuals, maybe a Nancy Mace, would be well suited to in position to do this motion to vacate. Because you got to look at the six that never voted for Kevin McCarthy, and then the eight that ended up actually voting to remove Kevin McCarthy during that motion to vacate with the Democrats that ended up doing what I'm kind of advocating. So those, like I'm thinking through which of those six and then eight, if you will, that voted in that manner that have already exhibited this sort of courage, who would be best positioned to do that? And I would say number one draft pick would be Bob Good. And then number two would be a Nancy Mace.
So I like that. I'm sure familiar with the idea. Like if there's ever a disaster and there's a crowd of people, you're not just supposed to go, somebody call 911, because nobody will do it. It's the bystander effect.
Right.
You're supposed to go, you call 911.
Exactly.
Bob, what's his name?
Bob Good comes down
Bob
as
Good.
An absolute hero.
You're the one.
And the reason why I say, I'm going to go into a little detail so I think we got some time. Bob Good was just primaried. And the reason why is because initially he supported Ron DeSantis, I didn't really hear much. He wasn't like disparaging of President Trump. I get the political dynamics of that occurring, right? And that, he ended up facing the consequences of doing that. But I think he can redeem himself in a massive way. Not so much, I look at this not so much as fealty or loyalty to Donald Trump. This is fealty and loyalty to auto-correcting the complete constitutional chaos that is going on by, you got to look at the position as our democratic processes, our constitutional republic. Bob Good can be the one that starts to protect and defend the Constitution maximally with the authority that his position has in the few months that he has remaining. And if I was President Trump and Bob Good initiates the sequence of events to do so, there needs to be strong consideration to bring him back into the fold to utilize him for, at the end of the day, he's a very strong conservative that needs to be included in the conversation. So I think politically speaking, it brings him back into the fold. But more importantly, it really protects our institutions by auto or body checking the insider threat. That is not only an insider threat to Donald Trump, it's an insider threat to the entire nation.
Right. And I think our audience understands. No, that absolutely makes sense. And I've been noticing for a while and saying on my show, I mean, the major sort of unspoken combat going on right now is between the executive branch, specifically the bureaucratic unelected aspects of that branch, superseding and usurping authority from Congress, ignoring their subpoenas, ignoring their orders. And if we don't have oversight through our elected representatives, we don't have a say in our government anymore. If it's a bunch of, if the only chance we get is to vote in a rigged election every 4 years for one person to be the symbolic head of the executive branch that operates continuously, regardless of who's in charge, we are not a constitutional republic anymore. We're not a democracy. That is a dictatorship. So this is like the bare minimum of extreme measures necessary to just get us right back on track. And
that's only one aspect. I have a couple other solutions that can run concurrently with this. And I think this kind of transitions into the free speech component,
right?
Which, I've been all week, my focus has been, and I guess I've self-interned over the last 18, 19 months in Congress. It's not only to sit behind these scum, right? It's to be able to be present, to communicate and give these ideas for things to move and shape. I like to say I had at least a small role in the removal of Kevin McCarthy. I had a small role in maybe kind of influencing the conversation with the inherent contempt with Anna Paulina Luna. I can't say for sure. You'd have to ask those individuals. But the more you're there, I mean, not only digitally, but physically, the more you can have influence and sway. So the reason why I'm in Texas is that I see it as the Texas is going to save the republic. And the reason how that's going to work is influencers and content creators that have massive reach like you and InfoWars or Dinesh D'Souza out in Houston or out here in Blanco, Texas, Miss Roseanne Barr, which I just did an interview with, or tomorrow up at Blaze Studios, or you name the major player, or Steven Crowder up in Dallas.
They're all either in Texas or moving here.
These are all Texas-based content creators that have millions and millions of reach so that we can counter those institutions and deep state entrenched non-voted actors to feel the pressure of the American people. And but we need to coordinate and mobilize that. So this is how we do it. The most influential people outside of the governmental system, well, the number one most influential person right now is in Texas now. Because X just moved from California to Texas.
Right. They just shut down their San Francisco
office. In Bastrop. Just east of here. Yeah. Right. And I was there at the new campus. Was it yesterday? Day before.
Yeah.
Just to see things. Right. This little bodega. It's called the Boring Bodega. You know, the Boring Company.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think all of his, most of his holdings are there. His Boring Company, SpaceX, Starlink, now X.
Tesla, of course, in Austin.
Austin. So check. It changes the dynamic so much. By bringing the corporate entity from California to Texas, it is now under the jurisdiction of and Ken Paxton, the attorney general.
King amongst men, yes.
Yes.
We love Ken Paxton. Yeah, yeah. We love him as much as our enemies hate him, and they
you see
hate that guy.
How this now changes political and legal dynamic of jurisdiction? Let me explain it further. There's also a committee in the state Senate chaired by Brian Hughes. That is it's the State Affairs Committee. And that committee just had recently, about two months ago, had a hearing where you had Facebook whistleblower, Hartwig, Google whistleblower, addressing the big tech issue. So here's my line of thinking, you know, looking at it from a constitutional law and just a procedural perspective, is that on one hand, you have the attorney general that has now the ability through several civil actions that the AG's office has been doing, whether it's the settlement with Facebook, right? Facebook that just happened a few weeks ago. It's the going after pharma, right? So when you peel the onion, you know that I published here on Alex's show, the deep state target list. Mm-hmm. When you look at the category of, say, COVID con, when you look at the category of censorship, there's always one name that comes together that is the one behind the scenes synchronizing the entire big tech censorship industrial complex with the East Coast national security apparatus over at the FBI and beyond. The dude's name is Jim Baker. I don't know if you can pull his face up because I want everybody to know and see who he is. He still has a Twitter account. It's at the Jim Baker.
Right.
From 2014 to 2018, he was the general counsel of the FBI. Meaning, he was the senior lawyer that authorized the illegal political spying operation on Trump, General Flynn, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, Paul Manafort.
Right.
Tag all those people.
Right.
And clip this out.
Yeah, yeah.
So from that, and then after that failed, they had to cover up that illegal spying when Jim Baker authorized the Mueller investigation. But wait, you know, remember that Mike Pence's chief of staff, Josh Pitcock's wife, Catherine Seaman, worked for Peter Strzok and was involved in the 25th Amendment conversations during the first presidential term. So the reason why like these people are protected is because this goes up the chain via the Pence-Bush-Cheney syndicate and their involvement, as well as the Barry Hussein and the failed vice president slash Biden criminal syndicate. They're all involved in this. And Jim Baker was the conduit to then, after the Mueller investigation failed, he was sent over to Nancy Pelosi's district, four blocks south of the FBI field office in San Francisco, for Jim Baker to go ahead and run the censorship industrial complex that has been exposed through all the Twitter files.
Yep.
But it doesn't end there. Because politically, Elon Musk may have been reticent or cautious about going scorched earth, because if you release too much, then Gavin Newsom will destroy your business if you're in California. Nancy Pelosi is going to destroy you from her position. Adam Bullschiff is going to start to be weaponized against you. And his little buddy, Eric Swalwell.
Yeah.
And then maybe Mad Maxine Waters, right? So now that he's moved from California to Texas, this opens the entire floodgates. Elon, if you're listening in, pick up the phone. Call Ken Paxton, have a meeting today. While they're doing the motion to vacate in Congress today, as early as today, they just have to do it.
Yeah.
Then Elon, you can have a meeting with Ken Paxton, and you can discuss the following things. Wait. I have this entire file of all the content we've pulled on Jim Baker. This represents a stack of data that is this company-issued phone that we had given him. This represents the stack of his personal tablet, or his tablet that we issued him as a company, his laptop. And oh, by the way, this is a stack of information related to his direct messages on Twitter that
right.
he communicated with everyone.
This is Twitter files times a thousand.
Email. This is the mother of all Twitter files. Because when you expose Jim Baker and all of his communications,
then that's it.
F-A-F-O.
The whole thing goes down. Wow.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state, intelligence agency-controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when you look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back. back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Jumping the gun here.
Live right now at band.video.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to American Journal. Infowars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Ivan Raiklin is in studio with me at Ivan Raiklin on X, website raiklin.com.
And Rumble and Substack.
You're operating on a ton of different platforms on a variety of different levels. What I love about what you've laid out so far is it's concrete plans, it's actionable instances where our representatives or us ourselves can actually make significant change here. And
with specific names,
right,
of who should be acting.
And it's the type of stuff, and this needs to go out over the air, because we don't do things behind, we don't do things secretly, we don't do things in shadows.
Mm-hmm.
We tell people what we're going to do because what we're doing is the right thing to do. So you've got a couple different plans in motion here that could be easily achievable. It just takes political will to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To get Donald Trump appointed Speaker of the House ASAP, to get him the security of being then able to appoint his own sergeant at arms in control of the Capitol Police. I guess that would be in addition to the Secret Service. Regardless, it would definitely help to mitigate some of the threat that he's under, which apparently is continuing without slowing down, with the rumors now unconfirmed about explosives found at his rally in Long Island, and the crew is searching for any new information about that. We'll bring you as we get it. So that's one, is getting him Speaker of the House, and the variety of things that he would then have access to or ability to do, which would just be monumental and incredible.
Maximum defense and offense.
And should have happened when you know, Kevin was kicked out. When McCarthy was kicked out, they should have put Trump in. I was all in favor of that plan. I'm so disappointed they didn't do that. That would have been hugely a just political shakeup for the ages. In addition to that, utilizing Texas and the fact that X is now in Texas, that all of Elon Musk's companies, more or less, are now headquartered in Texas, that the Texas...
All my exes live in Texas.
And it's not California. They can get the information out. They can release stuff they wouldn't be able to release otherwise. The government itself is not going after X in the way that I know California was.
Mm-hmm.
So... let's keep going. We talked so much during the break. I'm trying to remember what we actually said on air. Where did we stop on air? Because we were talking about...
There's several parallel solutions to fixing... This is a family-friendly show, so I'll just say this defecate show.
Yes. The crap is hitting the fan in D.C. So...
Yeah, so there's a federal solution that we laid out, and there are several state solutions
right.
in Texas that can help resolve the constitutional crisis that we're in.
Yeah.
And we do it legally, morally, ethically, actually, and peacefully and patriotically.
Yeah.
And so I would say that the Texas solution involves the most influential private citizen in the globe, who is a most influential American and most influential Texan at this point, Elon Musk. And yes. The reason why is Elon Musk he sits on all the communications, direct messages, emails, legal documents that Jim Baker signed off on. Everything that has Jim Baker's fingerprints on is going to be the key to opening the entire deep state apparatus that has weaponized against all of us. So mm-hmm. for those, I don't know, possibly there's one or two Democrats and independents listening in on this show. This message is for you. I want you to understand that there is someone even 1,000 times worse than Orange Man Bad. And that person/group is Jim Baker, was behind making sure that you bought into the unsafe and ineffective jabs, that you bought into. You probably know somebody that died or was injured from the jab. Guess what? Jim Baker was the one that was the conduit to authorize the contracted company known as Reuters, pronounced Reuters in some circles, to censor content related to truthful information related to the election, related to the COVID con, et cetera, et cetera. So Jim Baker contracts out to Reuters, and guess who the CEO of Reuters was at that time? James Smith. Any relation? I don't know.
I hope not.
But then he was also on the board of Pfizer, the largest right. global DNA mutilation distribution company, right?
Yeah.
Because it affected your DNA, right? mRNA, et cetera. So that's what Elon Musk sits on.
Right.
But the other thing is that he can't, in some instances, there's some things like legal documents that he wouldn't be able to release. One, because of legal business risk, right? So then that's where he needs to have this meeting with Ken Paxton as they figure out what can be then litigated on the civil side. And then in addition to that, since they just took away criminal capability of AG Paxton, then we go ahead and make sure that it's done properly by contacting the district attorney in Bastrop County by the name of, drumroll, you know what it is?
I don't.
I might remember, but I did look him up. If you guys want to pull up.
Oh man, I thought it was the name I was going to recognize. But Bastrop, for those who don't know, a small town outside of Texas, was a nothing town. I mean, 10 years ago, it was like didn't even have a stoplight as you drove through. Now it's been blowing up. They're building movie studios. It's where Elon Musk is headquartering. It's become this massive and extremely prosperous suburb of Austin. But it still sort of retains, for the time being, the sort of old school rural red conservative Texas attitude.
Brian Gertz.
Okay.
BRYANGOERTZ. So Brian Gertz. Now, when you bring that in, it's like, okay. District attorney. Well, you would have to bring him in into the conversation to kind of see where things at, because Brian Gertz would then need to be brought in to address the criminal component. And then if Brian wants to, then he would then do a criminal referral up to the AG's office for assistance. That's what I understand based on conversations with the AG's office and other players that know more about Texas law and procedure than I do, how it would come into fruition. So I would say like Elon Musk needs to meet with Ken Paxton and then needs to meet with the DA, Brian Gertz, and needs to meet with the chair of the committee in the state Senate, state affairs, that has oversight over this big tech kind of component jurisdictionally. And I may be actually meeting with him later this afternoon. We're working out the details to kind of explain how this would look. Now, Brian Hughes, state senator, has already held a hearing where he had a Facebook whistleblower, Google whistleblower, etc. So he's already kind of tracking the censorship scheme, the censorship industrial complex. What this does is take it to the next level. And I think all the parties are in unison because Elon Musk has now endorsed President Trump. Okay. Right. The previous Twitter files were under the framework of he did not endorse anybody. So now he's all in as a amicable or friendly participant with law enforcement to expose the crime scene that he tweeted about. Remember, he said Twitter's a social media company and a crime scene. Well, now that crime scene is in a jurisdiction that wants to go ahead and pursue justice on behalf of Texas residents that were censored beyond all recognition.
Yes.
Meaning right here, InfoWars. So every single content creator that takes for the platform, I'm literally explaining to you, you need to speak with your legal team.
Right.
To work the angle of what are some now new novel legal theories that have now presented themselves as of a few days ago, now that Twitter is in Texas.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, Brian Hughes, AG Paxton, Brian Gertz. The four of you need to do what's known as the Fantastic Four connection. And once you brainstorm and come up with these strategies to protect your citizens in your county, in your state, I think we're going to have such a mother of all Twitter files, which is phase one of this plan. Phase two means the whole country understands that you are a conspiracy oracle.
Right.
Right. A conspiracy factualist, because the communications will prove it, right? And then what happens next? The country will also then see that, wait, we now see through the communications that they coordinated, just like the Newsweek article said.
Right.
It was fortification, a.k.a. stolen election. And then when the psyche of the American independent voter and Democrat previous voter sees that the electoral system and infrastructure is completely rigged and manipulated, they're going to come to the same question as us. Well, how do we fix it? Because nothing's changed since 2020. Here's the solution. Ready?
Okay.
In states that have Democrat legislative majorities, meaning, say, Pennsylvania has a Democrat majority, state House, state Senate, Michigan, same thing, and name the other states. When you inform the independent and the Democrat and those that were never politically involved into having a vested interest in literally taking over the electoral infrastructure going into November 5th, meaning poll watchers, poll workers, you have more eyes of a broad spectrum of political class and ideologies to try to make it as clean as possible, the electoral system. In the states that have Republican majority state legislatures, Elon, Tucker, InfoWars, Glenn Beck, Crowder, Dinesh D'Souza, everybody I've been talking about, Roseanne, need to demand that those state legislatures actually vote on the allocation of their electoral votes, exactly how Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of our U.S. Constitution laid out. What does that mean? In Austin, your state house and state senate convenes November 5th, and then they vote live streamed on X, on InfoWars, on Rumble, on C-SPAN, as you and I get to see State Senator Brian Hughes, State Senator Bob Smith, whatever. As we already know how many voters there are registered. We already know which political party they're affiliated with, and we see how they're going to vote. Is that free, fair, and transparent? That's maximally free, fair, and transparent. And what that does is it blocks any illegals from voting in the presidential election. It blocks machine fraud, software fraud. What else? Mail-in drop boxes being used and fraud there. The foreign interference, right, through the systems. Deviant voting systems that just received $800 million from Paul Ryan's beloved Faux News to create the electoral outcome of their choosing, which is TDS, is the result that they want. Or whether it's Mark Zuckerberg, even though he admitted to bribing $400 million to the electoral system to create an outcome of his choosing back in 2020, it avoids that. So when you have the state legislatures voting in that way in the Republican majority states, guess how many electoral votes they control nationally? Drum roll, 274. We already have this in the bag, Harrison. It just requires action.
And I wish more people would...
270.
Yeah.
We control 274 electoral votes, meaning Republican states that have a majority of Republican legislators in the House and Senate. If they were to vote that way and everyone voted by political party affiliation, 274 electoral votes are already locked in as Republican electors.
But how would that work? I mean, the legislature chooses to certify votes, but I mean, they can't override the actual vote count, right?
Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 in our U.S. Constitution. Remember, the U.S. Constitution was written and created by state legislatures when three-quarters of them created it.
Right.
Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 is the article known as the Elector's Clause, where the state legislatures decided that they themselves retain the power on how to allocate that state's units of sovereignty known as presidential and vice presidential electors. After the first few elections in our country, they created election laws that delegated that power to what's known as a popular vote. Those legislatures have the authority to say, we're not going to do a popular vote because we have now proven with the mother of all Twitter files that our electoral system is completely compromised. We're going to go ahead and reclaim that authority, run it free, fair, transparent, clean, guaranteed clean in this manner, vote. And then for the next one, we're going to create an electoral infrastructure that is even more free, fair, and transparent that incorporates the will of the people more so than this one, without any fraud.
Yeah, well,
ask questions because I think you're not.
Well, it just seems like we're so close to the election right now. So much stuff would have to happen so quickly. No.
The only decision that needs to be made is the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader, or the President of the Senate in these respective states, just have to make the conscious decision to say we're going to take this action.
Well, I know. So I know, like
and then they hold a vote.
Wouldn't they have to, undo some constitutional amendments? Like, I know the 17th Amendment took the vote for senators away from the state legislators to a popular vote. They wouldn't have to repeal the 17th or something like that?
You're referring to a separate style election under a different authority.
Okay.
So there are several different elections that take place under different authorities. The president, I'm only referring to the presidential and vice presidential electoral allocation for electors. You're talking about how to vote for U.S. senators.
Yeah.
Totally different legal framework and authority.
Okay.
And on the House side, it refers, because this year we're going to have House, Senate, House, Senate, and the presidency. So on the House and Senate side, we're looking at Article 1, Section 4. total separate legal authority. I'm only referring to our electors for president. Now, as it applies to those elections, the House and Senate, the mother of all Twitter files, what does it do? It creates a more it creates more information for the voter to understand that our elections are completely illegitimate and belligerent, and everything that they were told by Criminal News Network, MSLSD, Faux News, Washington Compost, New Woke Slimes, Raw Sewage, Roytards, right, beyond, Fakebook, Instagarbage, CommieTube, CommieSearch, it will prove that it was all false.
Right.
And then they then see, this is for the independents and Democrats, you will then see for your own eyes and ears, not from my mouth.
See, this is the thing. I think this
that
is where
you have been duped into believing Orange Man bad.
Right.
And you know what? You can believe, you can continue to believe Orange Man bad. I don't need you to believe Orange Jesus. I need you to understand that there's a bigger enemy to you.
See, this
that
is, okay.
took away your money.
This is what I'm saying.
Your speech.
This
your everything.
This is the deep state. This is where you lose me, because I got no faith in the Democrats waking up anytime soon. What I like about the plan with Ken Paxton and Elon Musk and releasing the Twitter files, we don't need their cooperation. We don't need the Democrats to give us permission to pursue the law, to do what is prescribed by the legal process.
I say voters that have been voting Democrat that aren't really involved in the political process, they're just like blindly voting.
Yeah.
So we're changing their understanding of reality, because Elon Musk purchased Twitter, 350 million monthly active users. Last month, 910 million, right?
Ooh.
Telegram, 1 billion monthly active users.
Right.
That compares to 3 billion monthly active users on Fakebook. Well, 3 billion to 300 million, that's a 10-to-1 relationship 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Right.
Today, it's a 3-to-1. So we're getting to the point where if Elon does this, you're going to see 2+ billion monthly active users literally this month on X, because the content he's sitting on is so ridiculously salacious in my assessment. And I would at this point say I have almost highest level of confidence with almost certainty, near certainty, that all of what I'm describing is in there, and probably even worse.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why I say that confidently is because Terry Adderham, the Assistant Secretary of Defense that signed the policy that created the whole COVID con and DOD mandate, she was just called out on the 3-year anniversary by me and my closest 231 and 80,000 friends in the military that refused to comply with the illegal order.
Right.
And we did the little pile on saying, guess what, Terry, 3 years in, it doesn't matter what happens with the election. You're going to face consequences for your genocide involvement and for your mass mutilation, because we have all of your direct messages, Terry.
Right.
Guess what happened after I wrote that tweet? She blocked me, and then I asked my followers to go ahead and send her the same tweet that she blocked me on, and some of them sent her some direct messages. Her Twitter account was nuked by the end of the day by herself.
Yeah.
That's called fear and guilty conscience.
Right.
That proves to me that that coupled with the other data point, which is I had a 5-hour meeting with Matt Taibbi about a month ago.
Right.
One of the authors of the
Twitter files.
Several Twitter files.
Yeah.
And I asked him towards the end, did you guys look at the DMs? And he's like, no, because we had to sign an agreement that we would not look at the DMs. Ooh.
Right.
That means that's where the spices are.
Right.
And then I asked him, do you think it was Jim Baker potentially as the deputy general counsel that wrote that document for you to sign on behalf of Twitter so that you would not look at his DMs and everyone else's DMs that he communicated with?
Right.
Those two data points for me is enough for me to have the maximum level of confidence that the direct messages are so explosive that we're going to uncover the entire regime. And I think, and if it's published on X, you're going to see everybody from Fakebook coming over to X.
Yeah.
You're going to see everybody from Instagarbage coming over to X. You're going to see everybody using CommieSearch coming over to searching on X. You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm making not a single penny off of off of saying this, other than just the normal, you know, subscribers, and like it's nothing out of anything anyone else can get through verification.
Yeah, no, of course. Where's the profit in this? It's about saving the country.
Elon, if you're listening, no,
yeah,
it's about saving the country.
No, yeah,
absolutely.
And look, Elon Musk is clearly just completely in on this, right? He has very forcefully endorsed Donald Trump. He has spent $44 billion to preserve free speech.
Yep.
There's no half measures here. All of this is intertwined. It's all centered on the nucleus of censorship that they couldn't have gotten COVID done. They couldn't have gotten the Russia scam done. They couldn't have continued their operations in Ukraine. All of this required
of my
massive censorship.
Target list and categories that I've put together.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of doing that, Harrison, was to literally identify who was involved in what, identify who had a Twitter account, list those with the Twitter account, and determine who was interacting with whom so that I can literally say, hey, Elon, Ken Paxton, go to town.
Right.
And that's did 99% of the work.
Yeah, and that's great. And again, that's what I like, because it's like, you know, if it was a plan that required a huge number of Democrats to suddenly wake up and go, oh, gee, we are getting screwed up. Like,
no,
if
Elon,
that happens, God willing, yeah, I hope that happens. But, you know, looking at Ron DeSantis, where it just he goes, you know what? I have the authority. I'm doing an investigation into this assassination. I'm the governor. Say what you want. This
but
is happening.
Then,
that's what I love.
The motivation of Ken Paxton is even greater than what you just described, because he wants to kind of vindicate himself for the Bush-Cheney criminal cabal that just went after him.
Yep,
and
to
you're
going to
find in these direct messages, because remember, James Comey has a Twitter account.
Right.
What's in there? John Brennan has a Twitter account. What's in there? Lizzie Cheney has a Twitter account. And so does Adam Kinzinger. What is in there, huh?
Right.
And on and on and on. Thus the deep state target list. And that's why, as the first time I tweet at these individuals that are on my list,
they block
is
you.
The block.
yeah, of course. I would like, too. If I was them, I'd block you too. because look, they are criminals. They have violated, as has been laid down by the Supreme Court for God knows how long. Somebody knows. It's a decision. You cannot outsource your unconstitutional actions to a private company. You cannot censor people just because you do it one step removed, because Jim Baker retired from the FBI and went to Twitter to do the censorship. It's still censorship. It's still a violation of the law.
When you look at the details of how it was coordinated, Jim Baker, and I did it, last Friday I was in San Francisco to play taps.
To say goodbye. Yeah.
In front of Twitter headquarters. And I did the path. I also posted a video of how it would look where Jim Baker walks up to his conduit at the FBI field office of San Francisco. It's four blocks north. Right. So all they had to do was meet two blocks in the middle at a coffee shop near the Capitol or the city office building, right?
Yeah.
And that's how they coordinated it.
Right.
But if we look at all their communications, it's going to show everything.
It's going to be there. And what's already been revealed through the Twitter files is crazy enough. And what I love about this is, so often it's like I'm tearing my hair out, because it's like I thought we just had to expose this. I thought once it was exposed, the wheels would go in motion. People would be outraged. Instead, it's like, OK, now I have to make people care about this. Like now it's all out in the open and still nothing is being done. We just need people in their positions of power to have the courage and political will to just do what they took an oath to do,
right,
what the law prescribes.
It triggers the sequence of events. You release the Twitter file, the mother of all Twitter files, then educates and motivates the biggest influencers, Elon, Rogan, Tucker, Alex, obviously, right? And it explains that the only way we solve this current situation is to lean on these state legislatures.
Right.
And when in the collective, all the independents that now have more viewership than the legacy media, they're going to be forced, I think, to make that bold decision to allocate those electors accordingly. We have a guaranteed win. And the other component, with the time we have left, the House Administration Committee Subcommittee on Oversight, Barry Loudermilk, my sources are telling me, is going to release a report that nullifies the January 6th committee report completely. That way Jamie Raskin can't call January 6th an insurrection, even if the Democrats do win.
Because they're talking about using Congress to keep him out, using that claim.
So I'm already working to play with that.
Whoa, folks. Yeah, forget your football games, forget Game of Thrones, forget House of Cards, man. This is the real drama playing out in real time, and the fate of our country hangs in the balance. Ivan Raiklin, you got me jazzed up, dude. This is very exciting stuff. Ivan Raiklin on X, website raiklin.com. He's on Rumble, he's on Substack and everything else. Support this man. He'll be on all the other shows. Stay tuned. Alex Jones, 90 seconds.
At InfoWars MD, You can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.